at a very massive scale with about 10,000 devotees attending. And today we are making another humble celebration just within the Brahmachari ashram. And next couple of hours we will try to meditate on the glories of the spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And to create the right mood for this function, so we have His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu, who will be speaking on the significance of celebrating Vyas Puja, the mood of celebrating Vyas Puja, so that we can make our offerings, verbal offerings, in line with the spirit given by Prabhu. And also, we will request all of you to keep your verbal offerings within 4-5 minutes, so that maximum devotees can get an opportunity to share their feelings and express their devotion to Maharaj. So first let's hear from His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So every year a disciple assembles to remember the qualities and the teachings of his spiritual master. This is a day where he is supposed to express his indebtedness, at the same time recommit himself for the process of devotional service. What we have to understand, that it's a great fortune that all of us have got an opportunity to be part of Guru-Shishya relationship, and a great opportunity is given to perform devotional service under the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this ceremony is called Vyas Puja because Guru speaks the words of Vyasa, and he just simply repeats his teachings. Now, many times people ask, why do we need to take initiation? Then we'll ask, like, if somebody wants to perform a surgery, and if he says that I have read all the books on surgery available in the world, now let me perform surgery on you. But will all of us agree to that? Because we will ask him, but have you practiced under a successful, competent surgeon? Similarly, is the case of law. Unless and until you study and practice under a competent lawyer, you will not be recognized. So similarly, if someone has to cross this material ocean, the ocean of nascence, he has to practice it under the spiritual master. And that is why the initiation, that's the where the disciple makes a permanent commitment, eternal commitment, is necessary. Though the books of bhakti and the teachings will be available all over the place, but still practicing under a proper Guru-Shishya Parampara and taking shelter of a Guru is necessary. So what we have to understand is Guru is not Parameshwar. He is a person, at the same time Tattva as well. In the sense, some places the Guru is being given the same understanding of a Parameshwar, but we have to understand that Guru means like Guru Tattva is there. And then many of the present day people have a doubts that why do we give so much importance to Guru? Because he appears just like us, as we have got this material body, he also has a material body. We also become sick, he also becomes sick. Then why so much of awe and reverence is offered to him? But what we have to understand, let's take a simple example of a traffic police. Now, traffic police is how much is like, at the most 5 feet tall and maybe 50 to 60 kg of weight. But he stands on the street and a truck comes, a whole say loaded truck comes maybe of a 20 ton. When the truck comes and the traffic police just does his hand like this, and then the whole huge truck has to stop. If he doesn't stop and breaks, disobeys and goes ahead, this police will tell to his colleagues and the whole government machinery will come after him. Now if you see the 20 ton and this 50-60 kg of police, is no match. But he has the power of a government. And that's how, like, na, if he just puts hands like this, you put hand like this, any vehicle will stop? No. But the police puts hands of this, then the whole hundreds of trucks will stop. So similarly, what we have to understand is the Guru has been given empowerment by the Supreme Lord. And then if you disobey Guru, then all God's energy will come after you. Especially if you do a mischief with police, then what happens is that you will get doubly punished. So the Lord's dear devotee is disrespected, then the Lord's energy will harass us. So what we have to understand is Guru Pada Ashray is so important. A person may do lots of tapasya, goes to Himalayas and all kinds of tapasyas, or he may give lots of charity. But taking shelter of one's spiritual master is always considered greater than all these things. So the thing is like, actually Guru is the person who gives us a power, and because of that we are able to progress in our devotional life. And if any offense is committed under his lotus feet, then we can take the example of, like, say sometimes we have germs in the stomach, and then no matter how much you eat, the person will always remain slim like this and he will not get an energy, because all the juice and this thing is eaten by the germs. So similarly, you may do a lot of devotional service externally, but if you commit an offense, then proper nourishment will not be there. So to understand the position of a guru, what we have to understand is like, if you see the best thing in the material world, like when we were studying, we were in children, the best thing always was in the books or in the movies was like na, touchstone, parasmani. Like if you get a parasmani and you touch it and then you get a gold and then you become a big person, that's the stories we read in our childhood. But parasmani also has one defect, in the sense, parasmani, if you touch any metal, it will turn into gold. But parasmani cannot make another parasmani. Whereas a spiritual master is such that he can make another person as a guru. Because anybody comes in touch with a bona fide spiritual master will be infused with the bhakti, with the devotional service. And guru has a power that he can create a person equivalent to him, another person who will also have the same power to attract all the living entities into the devotional service. And that is why the guru has to be respected as a god. Let's see Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Lila itself. It says that Guru Krishna Rupe Hana Shastra Praman Guru Rupe Krishna Kupa Karena Bhaktagan. That means all Shastras have said that Guru is non-different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of a spiritual master, delivers his devotees. So what we have to understand, that Krishna sends a guru so that we can be delivered. So we say in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he meets Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj, he immediately glorifies that I am in this predicament at this stage of life, and Krishna has sent you, that is Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj, so that I can be delivered. So this, the respect has to be given as a god, like on 10th Sunday morning, Srimad Bhagavat class, His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj was stressing this point that Guru should never be considered as an ordinary person. Because if you consider him as an ordinary person, then you will take his teachings also lightly. If you really want to progress in your spiritual life, then you have to understand the real position of spiritual master and has to be taken his words very, very seriously. Then only we will be able to progress. As far as gratitude and eternal indeterminateness is concerned, that festival was termed as a festival of gratitude because a disciple is eternally indebted to the spiritual master. And that's how we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prithu Maharaj explains in the fourth canto that a one who thinks that he can repay the debts of spiritual master is a foolish person. And similarly, even the Uddhava also tells in the 11th canto that a person who is actually sensible and wise, he thinks he can never repay to his spiritual master. Even if a person has a long life, that of a Brahma's lifetime, and still does things to repay his spiritual master, it's not possible. That Krishna actually appears in the form of an Acharya and in Paramatma, and this is how he delivers to the conditioned souls. And then we have seen like this whole mood is reflected by Prahlad Maharaj's prarthana when Hiranyakashipu gets killed and Prahlad Maharaj was pacifying Narasingh Dev. That time Prahlad Maharaj glorified Narad Muni, saying that he is the person who saved me. And how can I ever give up a service unto him? So this is the way the disciple understands that he is eternally indebted to his spiritual master. And as Narad Muni instructs about Brahmacharya Ashram in the 7th canto, in the Gurukule, Brahmacharya Gurukule verse, where especially the people staying in the ashram has to practice the sense control. They have to be submissive towards the spiritual master as well as a firm friendships towards the spiritual master. So we have seen in Narottam Das Thakur's example that he played the role of a disciple, and Loknath Goswami that he was serving, he was rendering all kinds of menial service unto him. So there is obedience, at the same time there is a lot of love and affection towards the spiritual master. I think ye thoda incense hatana padega. Incense agarbatti hone ke liye. So that as the Narottam Das has prayed, like Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitta Te Karuyayaka. So the thing is every day Srila Prabhupada instituted that we should chant this prayer and reminded ourselves about the importance of spiritual master in our lives and understand those instructions us. Because what Guru Mukha Padma Vakya means and Chitta Te Karyayaka, we have seen Shabari, she had such a great faith in the words of her spiritual master. The spiritual master told her that Lord Ram will come, you just stay here, and when he comes on behalf of me, you should serve him. And every day she was making all kinds of preparations. And almost 13 years, every single day, she prepared her hermitage to receive Lord Ram. And we can see the Lord Ram himself came to receive a service from her. So this is all like on the day of a Vyas Puja, we understand the importance of a spiritual master, understand his teachings, we understand our position and we understand like how we need to improve ourselves so that our commitment that we made at the time of initiation from our side of a contract, we will be able to fulfill it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, for such a wonderful address, preparing the mood for the celebration of Vyasa Puja. And with such wonderful examples of traffic constable and medical practitioner's advice, all that you have made really our mood to celebrate Vyasa Puja. Now we'll begin our offerings. First, I would like to call His Grace Abhimanyu Pran Prabhu to make his offering. As Abhimanyu Pran Prabhu is speaking, I request Abhay Gauranga Prabhu to be ready next. You can keep your offering maximum 5 minutes so that many devotees can get an opportunity to speak.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. So this is the day, as Prabhuji told, that we are getting an opportunity to glorify our spiritual master. So I would like to focus on few of his qualities on this day. So especially whenever I hear Maharaj, any of the lecture, each of his words, lecture, when I hear, it vibrates with Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purport. So whatever Prabhupada has written, the books that we can see when Maharaj is speaking, it is coming through his mouth. So that kind of saranagati, surrenderness to his spiritual master, we can see in his talks, in his action, in his whatever he does, that we can see how he's imbibing Prabhupada's everything in his life. So few of the things what Prabhupada has desired, like when Prabhupada gave his lecture in Bhartiya Vidya Bhavan, he told, let there be a temple. And eventually that came as ISKCON Chowpatty, that was fulfilled by Maharaj. And then Prabhupada's desire to food for life, that was also fulfilled by Maharaj as Annamrit Foundation. And then Prabhupada has a desire that let there be farm community everywhere, wherever ISKCON is there. And Maharaj did that as a Govardhan Eco Village here. So in this way we can see how Maharaj is continuously, he is absorbed and meditating in fulfilling what was Prabhupada's desire. That we can see in Maharaj's life. And then Prabhupada, when you are leaving, we see the Mahavakya Prabhupada told, please try to cooperate with each other. So whenever Maharaj gives any lecture anywhere, he always puts his focus on cooperation between devotees, how ISKCON can be and always it remain as a united together. So Maharaj's personality, if you see, very rare personalities. Recently I've been to a few ISKCON temple in Odisha, and I'm filled with so many anarthas, but when you go to somewhere, you try to be in your best version. So I was trying to behave very nicely, properly. And wherever they used to see that, oh, you are disciple of Radhana Swami Maharaj, oh, just see how nicely they trained him. So that's how the Maharaj's character is everywhere in all ISKCON temple. Like you can see, that is what Maharaj is. Everyone likes Maharaj. That's how everyone invites Maharaj for lectures in their ISKCON temple. Because always wherever Maharaj goes, he focuses on the unity, cooperation. What was Prabhupada's desire? That how the devotee will stay together with cooperating with each other. And then we can see, like it was told to Haridas Thakur that he was very rare, that whatever he is to speak, he is to act on that. Achar and Prachar both were there in Haridas Thakur. So that same thing, whenever you see Maharaj, whatever he is to speak, he is to walk on that. someone was saying that behavior was much louder than what we speak. So that we can see in Maharaj's life, morning when he was, any time you see him chanting Hare Krishna, how much absorbed while you are chanting Hare Krishna. So that we can see in Maharaj's behavior. Today morning I was taking a tour to one of Maharaj's disciples from Switzerland, Kamaniya Devidasi and Kesava Acharya Prabhu. So while taking the tour across the GV, I was explaining all the places. And then they told a very nice thing. They told, they came GV after a decade. So they told, Prabhu, one thing you know, whenever Maharaj come to Switzerland or whenever whatever thing we heard from Maharaj, so when we are here in GEV and seeing all these places what you are explaining, it's like whatever we heard, that we now we are seeing in action. So the Maharaj's heart was totally manifested in Govardhan Eco Village. I told, true, everything was Maharaj's, it is all Maharaj's a manifestation of his heart, this Govardhan Eco Village, this Vrindavan forest. So that's how Maharaj, you can see the Acharya and Prachar both were there in Maharaj's life. And then whenever you are speaking about humility, and he is like the humility personified. Whatever he speaks, whatever he writes, the way he walked, the way he smiled, everything is in such a humble way he does that. Prabhuji was telling recently in a grand way we celebrated Vyas Puja offering. The name was changed as a festival of gratitude. You can see how much he was humble, that he is not comfortable to take, be in that position as a higher in a Vyasasan. He was sitting in a lower in a floor. So that you can see in the life, that how much he was humble. Every step in his life is an exhibition of humility. How much respect he has to his God brother. How much sensitive he is that God brothers are there, they may not feel comfortable. So he was trying his best to make all his God brothers comfortable. So I remember when I was serving, assisting Brajchandra Prabhu for 1 year, Maharaj was staying in Govind Vila. That time, his one of God brother visited Govardhan Eco Village, Dhanudhar Maharaj. And that time, all the good qualities, guest house, rooms, everything was packed. So then they were planning to put him in Gokul cottage somewhere. So when Maharaj came to know that, immediately Maharaj told, call my God brother to here in Govind Vela. He will stay here. So Brajchandra Prabhu, Maharaj, how will you say you are staying here? It's okay, we'll divide to and we'll stay together. Call him. And immediately within 2 hours, Maharaj just brought all his luggage, everything to one bedroom and made 2 rooms empty. And we are all shocked, my God, how will he adjust in one room? But that's how we can see the life. It is actually the respect, the humility one person has towards his God brother. And Dhanudhar Maharaj stayed there. And Maharaj told that, I am a simple person. Why you are making everything so gorgeous? I can stay in one room also. And when Dhanudhar Maharaj left, so Maharaj was not using the other 2 rooms. So after 2 days only. And then Maharaj was saying that, I can adjust in one room also. Why you are making so big house? So that you can see that really his nature is very simple in heart. So that is what you can see, the humility in his life. And then I was reflecting that how Maharaj is a true leader. A true leader is one who creates another leader who can pass the legacy for the future. So you can see how Maharaj has trained his senior disciples. Even in the absence of Maharaj, how they are nicely taking care of all this project. When you see about ISKCON Chowpatty, the leadership council body, and then Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Gopal's Garden School, Govardhan Eco Village, such a nicely Maharaj trains, gives his time through his senior disciple and trained them, and they are carrying forward the legacy. So that quality I always see in Maharaj, how he is training the future leaders. So like that. And on this day, just I was reflecting that I am a such a small and very fallen disciple with so many anarthas. So I always tormented with all kind of anarthas. And Maharaj was recently was telling, this world is full of distraction. Everywhere distraction is there. And then I was reflecting, I'm like one of the victim of that distraction. So I pray on this day to Guru Maharaj that always, please keep me in your shelter so that I can be protected from all this kind of a distraction of this material world, and try to follow each of your instruction, what you like us to do, and let every breath, every step of my life be in your service. And I pray today that Maharaj, that let me not go astray, diverted from your instruction, and always be under your shelter, in the shelter of your devotees, and always try to serve you to my best of my life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Abhimanyu Brahman Prabhu, for so nicely describing how a disciple should reflect the mood of spiritual master, and how His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj reflected the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and also demonstrated this quality of humility. So now I request Abhay Gauranga Prabhu to come forward, and meanwhile I request Hari Guru Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj is filled of oceanic qualities, and one I would like to reflect and I meditate on is Saragrahi. So he is such a spiritually elevated soul that at his lotus feet all the contradictions are resolved. As scripture says, the Vaishnavas are Saragrahi. And I had a few glimpses or experience in my life before coming to Krishna consciousness. Since I studied in Christian school, I heard less about other traditions, but more about Jesus and Christianity, and I had some inclination towards that. And since I brought in a Maharashtrian traditional family, I heard about Tukaram Maharaj. So whatever little spiritual understanding I had was about these two personalities. And Krishna's grace, when I first was able to see Guru Maharaj, it was 25th December in Pune. I don't remember the exact year. And that was the Christmas was coming, and Maharaj spoke about Lord Jesus. And in that he spoke very nicely about, he glorified Jesus for a few minutes, and then he told about Srila Haridas Thakur, that how the great souls, they dedicated their life for the Supreme Lord. And then I felt so relaxed in my heart that, oh, this is the spirituality, the Vaishnavism is all inclusive. And 1 or 2 years later, when Guru Maharaj came to Pune for Rath Yatra in Nigde, there that year theme was, they met Tukaram Maharaj, they acted the drama of Tukaram Maharaj, and he very nicely glorified the life of Tukaram Maharaj and then connected to Krishna consciousness. And again my heart was so much connected to Krishna consciousness. So this was the deep impact in my heart by Guru Maharaj. And once I was fortunate to serve Maharaj's dear friend, Gary Prabhu. That time I was told I should call him Gary Uncle. And there was Birla House program. And I just got this service for 10 days of assisting in guest department. And I just went with Gary Prabhu from his hotel to Birla House. And in that, in the small interaction, Maharaj's friend Gary Prabhu told me, you know, your spiritual master is so wonderful. And he spoke two very important things which touched my heart. One of them was, he said that Radhanath is such a person that even if you want to find fault in him, you cannot find. He's such a perfect person in his dealings. And secondly, he told that Maharaj never forced me what he is following. And that's why he is such a dear friend to me. So Maharaj, on this day, I would like to pray at your lotus feet that how Srila Prabhupada's disciple and your senior disciples are committedly serving you at your lotus feet. I would like to also be in your service always. Thank you so much for accepting me with all my faults. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Abhay Gauranga Prabhu, for your simple, short and sweet offering. And how Maharaj is Saragrahi, you have explained very eloquently. So as Hari Guru Prabhu makes his offering, I request Gauranga Bihari Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I heard so many glories about you. I am witness so many things in my personal life. Recently, I touched by your compassion. Last year, I lost my father, my physical father. myself and my mother are in mentally disturbed condition. My mother's first meeting, without, he don't know any language, still you talked with her and you told her to come to GV and stay like that. I'm very thankful to you. Now my mother was accommodated, stayed in village, Govardhan Eco Village, ensuring her well-being and allowing her to be immersed in the sublime atmosphere of devotion. Thank you, Maharaj. As a result, I'm in a better position to fulfill my responsibilities along with taking care of her. I am deeply touched by the care extended to me by your senior disciples. Even though I don't have any material qualification or education qualification, definitely I will try to serve you, Maharaj. Your profound teachings have illuminated my spiritual journey and I am humbled by the opportunity to serve with such a dedicated disciples. Inspiration derived from your personal example acts as the compass that guides me through the complexities and challenges of life. Guru Maharaj, your senior disciples have set all examples while serving the mission of you. On this occasion, I pray at your lotus feet so that may get sufficient spiritual strength and conviction in the rendering unwavering service under the directions with the spirit of being a servant of the servant. On this sacred day of your appearance, I offer my most sincere gratitude for your compassion, wisdom, and the boundless love you shower upon your disciples. May I forever remain at your lotus feet, striving to be insignificant instrument in your service. Also, I am asking forgiveness at your lotus feet and all other disciples, all my offenses and my insignificant services. Still, I want to improve myself. I want to serve you more, Maharaj. Please accept me always at your lotus feet. I also don't want to leave your lotus feet. Please forgive my offenses, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hari Guru Prabhu. Thank you so much for your heartfelt gratitude to Maharaj. Now I request Gauranga Bihari Prabhu to come forward. Meanwhile, I request His Grace Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu to get ready.
Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Hare Krishna. Today on this auspicious occasion of Vyas Puja, I would like to share some of the qualities and teachings of Maharaj which have inspired me. So I thought of sharing three aspects from Maharaj's life. So one distinct quality which I have seen in Radhanath Swami Maharaj is he never wants to show or prove I am better than others. On the contrary, he becomes uneasy or displeased when he is put into that situation. So I have personally, I have heard so many times and witnessed Maharaj has this quality that he never wants to be in that situation. Like for example, just two days back when we had the festival of gratitude, someone Mataji called from Pune and she was saying, Suji, there's no live streaming happening, so can you check? So I went and checked at the devotees who are doing live streaming and they said, Maharaj told you should not live stream the devotees offering and you can live stream from. I told her, she said, oh, Prabhuji, in the advertisement was mentioned live streaming from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock. I said, Mataji, this is Maharaj's instruction and that's being followed. So it's so touching that Maharaj doesn't want that unnecessary or people should hear what about him. He's more eager to share the glories of Srila Prabhupada. So that's one aspect. Another example is, like I have heard from Vrachanda Prabhu and other servants of Maharaj, that if anything is offered to Maharaj, then any of his senior disciples of Prabhupada or senior devotees, there should be nothing distinct from what is offered to him and other devotees. It should be either better than what is offered to him or at least equal. And if one offers something different, he is very displeased. So that is one aspect in that. So in GV, many times devotees used to come and ask us, where is the room of Radhanath Swami Maharaj? So at no point we could mention what is the permanent room of Maharaj. So all the rooms which are built, whichever room was built, new, Maharaj would stay and we'll say it's Maharaj's room. But then when Maharaj would leave, some other devotee would stay there or guest would stay there. So there was no particular place which was like Maharaj's room. And even now when Bhajan Ashram was made, so nice facilities were created and there was large space which was given. But Maharaj came and he appreciated very much. But then when he saw the other rooms, he made it a point that the same amount of space should be allocated for other of his god brothers also. So like Maharaj has some set of rooms allocated to him, but then he made sure the other rooms which are there for his god brothers or senior Prabhupada disciples, they should be of the same nature. He instructed, and there was they had to redo the rooms. They had to basically, the whole ambience, it was nicely done, but we had to create doors between rooms so that there can be extended rooms and things like that. So Maharaj is very particular about this thing that he doesn't like. Actually, it displeases him. I have seen that if somebody tries to show that he's better than others, like that. That is one quality which I distinctly saw. Second is, I was thinking, what pleases? What can I do that will please Maharaj? So what pleases Maharaj is whether you please Srila Prabhupada. That's his barometer to test you please him. So many a times we may see some devotee or some person as ordinary, not someone great. But for Maharaj, if he has done some service or some act which served Prabhupada or pleased Prabhupada, Maharaj has so much appreciation and so much love for that devotee. And we can see many a times, many of Prabhupada's disciples, they may not be as part of the movement, but still Maharaj respects them, loves them so much because at some point they served Prabhupada and they pleased Prabhupada. So the barometer for Maharaj is that what pleases him is not if they are pleasing him or his project, if it pleases Prabhupada. That is one thing. And another I have seen is that sometimes devotees are serving Maharaj or serving him. So rather than he directly getting feeling inspired or getting that service, if some of his god brothers, senior devotees tell how this devotee is serving so nicely, that is what pleases Maharaj. So for Maharaj, it's not what level of service you are doing, how much you are doing. He appreciates, he likes it. But what touches his heart is how others see you or they appreciate you. Like Gaurang Dishan Prabhu was telling me that, Sachinandan Maharaj sent appreciation for Prabhu to Maharaj. And that like pleased Maharaj so much that his senior god brother and others, they are appreciating somebody. So that creates more impact than serving him directly or pleasing him directly. So for Maharaj, that is what makes something or someone special, is what he speaks in his lectures. If you serve Vaishnavas, if you please Vaishnavas, that is the heart of bhakti. So that he show, not only he speaks in his lectures, but that's what his heart is. That's what he carries. And third aspect, just to close, is that Maharaj in his dealings, in his teachings, he always emphasizes the importance of Vaishnava character. So whatever Maharaj speaks or whatever Maharaj demonstrates through his personal life, his example, is to emphasize the importance of Vaishnav character. How a devotee, what a devotee is like, what should his character be? Like Prabhuji only told me that when Maharaj was speaking to him about Vidyapeeth and he was telling you should take some classes on character also. So Prabhuji said, Gaurang Darshan Prabhu mentioned that yes, Maharaj, in our discussions, we have discussions on Vaishnav character also. Maharaj said, no, you should have separate sessions on Vaishnav character, emphasizing what is Vaishnav all about. So the need of not just speaking, but imbibing those qualities in our life. So that's what Maharaj's life is all about. And some of the points you hear in his lectures, I feel they are like difficult to comprehend. How can one, like Maharaj saying that book distribution is going on. We have heard famous statement. Maharaj said we should distribute 1 lakh books, but we should expect and pray that we come last. We should distribute as many books as possible, but we should expect that we come last. So that's like mind-boggling. What is that mood of service to Prabhupada? Or Maharaj saying that when we are speaking Hari Katha, we should be grateful that others are giving us opportunity to remember Krishna, to speak about Krishna. So we are grateful to them for giving us an opportunity to share Krishna Katha. That's also for me is like, generally feeling is the others should be grateful if I am sharing Krishna Katha. But how I should be grateful for others giving me an opportunity to speak Krishna Katha. So that is a Vaishnava's heart character. So I am so indebted to Maharaj for sharing and opening up so many insights of the life of a devotee, the life of a Vaishnava, the life of the characters of Srimad Bhagavatam, what they actually imbibe, what they carry in their heart. So I pray on this day that I can also someday appreciate and accept some of these principles in my life and serve and please him and all the Vaishnava community. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gauranga Bihari Prabhu, for sharing those three wonderful qualities of Maharaj. Disinclination to accept any distinct offerings and emphasis on Vaishnava character and getting pleased when other Vaishnavas are pleased. Thank you. And now I request Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu to come forward. Meanwhile, Rasagovinda Prabhu can be ready. And request devotees to keep your offerings within 4-5 minutes so that other devotees also get chance and we don't get late.
Namo Vishnu Padaya.
And request to keep prayers within your minds and directly start with the offering.
Jai. Thank you. Thank you for reminding. So, we came, our batch came, the second batch after the first batch had come to GV. That is, they came in 2010, we came in 2011. And over the years, like every year passing, we saw the projects expanding and there were always some expansion going on. So at some point of time, I started thinking like, where are we heading? You know, like every time there are new challenges, new expansions, new projects. Then I started observing what Maharaj's godbrothers and other senior devotees had to say. So, as we get to know from his journey home book, initially Maharaj came into Krishna consciousness and was really attracted in Vrindavan. And then from there he went in and joined ISKCON in New Vrindavan. And after that he spent like more than 10-11 years in New Vrindavan. And during after that also, he was, after fulfilling the mission of Prabhupada, that he wanted more temples as he has directed, 7 temples as we get to know from Gaurang Prabhu, he explains, which were not getting fulfilled. So then, meanwhile, parallelly, he has started Radha Gopinath temple. So from my initial days when I was visiting Radha Gopinath, also I have observed, like, the altar mood his whole as a Vrindavan mood. You see the background and everything, the Vamshivat and all those constant reminding of Radha Gopinath and the Vrindavan mood Maharaj has. Also, in the front, there is used to be a dumping ground, which over the time became Vrindavan forest. It was just a garbage place and was changed in front of us over the year. We observed like how it was a very small place, small garden, but it was evolved into Vrindavan forest. So when I started thinking on those lines, then I stopped thinking like where we can end. No, like that was a small place where Maharaj has gone so detailed into expanding his Vrindavan mood. And this is the place where he is trying to. So I stopped thinking like, no, let's not think where are we heading, like constant construction and many things, which will be a continuous process. Also, one time, like Vraj Vihari Prabhu was telling that one time he just happened to visit the Vrindavan forest near the Radha Gopinath temple, and Maharaj was chanting constantly, now prayers to Sanatan Goswami and Jaitam Surado Pango in glories of Radha Madan Mohan. So he was explaining how intense mood he had and attachment, and which we get to know that how he, through journey home, that he was attached to the Madan Mohan temple. So later when he got Madan Mohan here, which previously was in 1:3 scale, but then later he got it made in 1:1 scale. So Maharaj again revealed his attachment and love and affection for Madan Mohan. So these are like few inner moods which we get to see how he the Vrindavan within his heart has evolved outside, which we are getting to see. Also, I could see like how he has a personal attachment to Goshala. Like he has served Goshala personally for more than 8 years in New Vrindavan. And whatever we do here is actually like his personal guidance. Like he wants all the, from day one, all the cows should be, you know, free. You know, they shouldn't be tied up. Like any Goshala in India concept, they are tied. But he always wanted them to be free. So one time now, like while planning the construction of Goshala, now that time Devrishi Narad Prabhu, he was interacting with him for the area for Goshala, this for this. So he was constantly telling that cows will be tied here, cows will be tied here. So Maharaj wanted to remind him, no, actually we want to keep them free. But again and again, just because he has in mind, he was telling again, cows will be tied here. So Maharaj told again, if you tell that, then we will tie you here. So he has that mood of keeping the cows free. The cows should be brushed. They should be bathed. They should be given sufficient land to graze, move around, and taken care from time to time. He has personally named almost all the cows. And on the name of his god brothers, on different special guests, he creates a bond with them. Like there is one of some senior politician, he used to visit with his wife. So he named one couple, one pair of the cow of that time, like Shrikant and Shreya, you know. So they were really very much fascinated that how Maharaj is connecting them to such a ground level, and fascinated. And one cow had name Vrindarani. So we told her calf, so Maharaj, you name her. So Maharaj told, okay, her name will, her name was Rangarani. So Maharaj told, okay, her daughter's name will be Vrindarani. So they are the queens and you are the servants. So you need to serve them. So also over the time we have observed how sensitive is he. Now we insensitive mood, I don't think twice while opposing what he is telling. So one time as we were hearing like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, who introduced beetles and cultivated them, later also connected eagles with ISKCON and got Joe Walsh and his girlfriend here. So when they visited Goshala, so Maharaj named one calf Manjari. That was his girlfriend's name was Marjorie or something like that. So Maharaj named her Manjari. Later then they Maharaj took both couple to Ranganath and indirectly initiated them, you know, like he gave Joe Walsh name as Jagadanand and his girlfriend as name Madhuri. So later when again Maharaj came, so Maharaj told that, okay, the cow which we named as Manjari, you named her as Madhuri. So I didn't outrightly accept it. No, I showed disapproval. Now what is this? You're changing names. I didn't speak, but he could see that he is confused. So he told, okay, okay. So we will, the next calf which comes, you may name her Madhuri. And male calf, you may name them Jagadanand. So I could see how sensitive he was that he could have told, so what, you change her name and keep it now, I'm changing, so what. But he was, you know, very considerate and sensitive that, no, I'm showing some confusion that how you're changing name of one calf again and again. So he was very sensitive in that term. Also, like, there was one calf who was quite restless and was not friendly with us. So we couldn't quite closely caress with him. So one guest showed Maharaj, see, he has ticks on them. And I was ahead and in a way, like, blaming, no, like, how they are taking care. So Maharaj outrightly overlooked it. No, he didn't want to show that you are to be blamed. No, like, why are you not taking proper care? So that was very sensitive dealing. It was our mistakes, but we also had tough time with that calf. So Maharaj was very sensitive in those lines. Also, in sound system also, we had a difficult time. Like, whenever Maharaj was there, some of the other problems always used to be there. Either there was low voice, there was some short circuit, no, it was some sounds coming here and there. So one time there was Prem Sammelan going on and there was feedback monitor, everything was there and the voice was really low. So everyone was pointing to me, you know, like, increase the volume, increase the volume, increase the volume. So I told, we are at our peak, we have really reached. So no, do something, keep the mic more closer to Maharaj. You know, it's up to Maharaj. He always goes away behind, no, all around the mic. You cannot just keep it close. So at that point of the time, Maharaj was talking about his past time in New Vrindavan, that how there was one devotee who he never gelled with. He was having tough time. But later how they had a good relationship. So when he was talking like that, I went close and kept mic more close to him. So Maharaj told, yeah, he was just like him. I never liked him. So my heart almost came to my mouth, no, like in front of everyone. So it was like really embarrassing. So like for sound system, he is very sensitive. He always wants the volume to be, you know, medium. He doesn't want it to go beyond because he is very sensitive about his god brothers who are very senior of age. No high pitch they can tolerate, and it should be, you know, like minimal, only the speaker's volume, and it should be sweet, you know, it shouldn't be sharp. But like always we had difficult times with the kirtan team and others, you know, like who out of being intense, yeah, I get the point, being tense they go over volume. So these were our challenges always there. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Radha Madan Gopal Prabhu. He was serving cows and he later served in sound system. Now he's serving deities. Thank you for sharing all these experiences. And Maharaj is caring for cows. Rasgovan Prabhu, please come forward. And next, I request Anantaragho Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. In 2009, basically, when our BT batch was over, me and Simaru Prabhu, two were the first batch people here coming.
to serve Sanat Kumar Prabhu and other team here for development of Govardhaneko village. But that time facility was not much, devotees were not much. We are given the personally the legal services given to me, and Simharipa Prabhu was given the civil services. And due to some without lack of patience, it was not possible for me to continue the services in Govardhaneko village. And I went for other services in Chopadi and other places. Now I come to see that just to fulfill the desire of some spiritual master, we have to keep the patience in our life. Randomly and within short period of time, situation cannot be changed. We have to remain patient and be supportive to the instruction of the spiritual master. From last 7-8 years, I am serving in DC and ICC. I have to share some instances which are occurred with Radhanath Maharaj, though Maharaj never speaks in ICC for a single time. Once there was one issue or arises in ICC to ban one Srila Prabhupada senior female disciple from India. I personally attended the meeting, and due to the force of all the ICC members and everyone, each and everyone decided that Srila Prabhupada, that female disciple, very senior disciple, though I have very loving affections and sharing feelings with that Mataji, ICC member decided that the Mataji, female disciple of Srila Prabhupada, disciples should be banned from India. And everyone was voted. It was voted unanimously. Not a single devotee has voted against or abstains. Everybody was with the favor that the female disciple of Srila Prabhupada should be banned from India. And everything was set up. All the voting is done. Everything was done. And just for last circular vote, those who were not present in the ICC meeting, the mail was sent. There was 160 votes against 0-0. A night when the mail was sent for the final circular votes, night 12 o'clock, the mail received. This is the first mail from last 8 years as son of Maharaj. And Maharaj says, I completely against this proposal. And I am objecting it. And just for 3-4 words, Maharaj's words, that word, single words, 3-4 words, were so heavy, I compare it as like waging Krishna in Dwarka. So all the queens, the gold were on one scale, and Krishna was on another scale. But Krishna's weight was heavy. But when Rukmini Devi, with love and affection, put one small leaf of tulsi, this small leaf of tulsi weight become high and Krishna's weight become very light. Though there were in voting members, there were many sannyasis were present, many Srila Prabhupada disciples were there, many senior ISKCON ICC members were present. But just one vote of Radhanath Maharaj, few words of Radhanath Maharaj, the scale of all the weight became less. And that issue was stopped there. So now Maharaj not only caring for his disciples, Maharaj not only caring for his projects, Maharaj also caring for his God brothers. So from that day I just thought that to lead ISKCON, we required one Acharya who knows the feelings of Srila Prabhupada and imbibe all the qualities which are given by Srila Prabhupada. That's why we required Radhanath Maharaj not only to lead India, to lead all ISKCON world. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Rasagovinda Prabhu, for highlighting that merciful aspect and accommodative aspect of Maharaj. Anantaraga Prabhu, as he is speaking, I request Shyampere Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I welcome all of you for this wonderful program this evening, especially devotees from different parts, different centers who have come here. Today on this auspicious day, I recollect few qualities of Maharaj. I would like to quickly share some of that. The first quality which is touching to my heart is the quality of Maharaj's simplicity. Many times we have seen Maharaj, the way he carries himself. Even if you see Maharaj's dressing sense, no kurta, just a simple shawl, just going around. So many devotees, thousands of devotees coming, meeting Maharaj. Anybody gives Maharaj anything, immediately he will give it to somebody. You know, he is so simple, just carrying, going around in a stick, going to different places. The only thing he carries is his bead bag. That's it. And he is so simple, going around. So that is the simplicity. He'll sit anywhere. You know, many times there are big events, devotees will get chair, but he'll sit down on the floor. So he is so simple at heart. Many years ago, there was a Vyas Puja ceremony, and so many devotees had brought so many gifts they were offering, and so many, you know, expensive gifts also. One of our devotees' daughter, she came and gave a gift to Maharaj. And when Maharaj opened the gift, it was a piggy bank. And that piggy bank had few coins. Now, even if a girl, you know, small girl, when she gives, how many coins would have been? 50 rupees, 100 rupees. But that piggy bank and the love and devotion that small girl offered, Maharaj was so much touched. And everywhere, even next day, Maharaj is meeting everybody and Maharaj is saying, did you see that girl giving that gift? And that was a piggy bank. So pig is a bad word in general, but Maharaj said it looks like Varahadev. Varahadev. And Maharaj was appreciating. So I was just meditating that although Maharaj knows the who is who in the world, not just ISKCON world but outside world. Recently Maharaj was invited for a dinner with Joe Biden and so many big industrialists. So he's in touch with so many big people, but still he acknowledges the simple things offered by a small girl. So that was the simplicity aspect which touched my heart. Another aspect here in GEV, as somebody was telling, that Maharaj didn't have room for so many years. Now after so many years, the rooms have been made. But he was ready to adjust anywhere. Many times it has been observed that there were no rooms, but Maharaj shifted and he used to stay anywhere. As far as prasadam is concerned, now my main service is in kitchen. So I've never seen in so many years, or even in many of Maharaj's servants, Maharaj never told that you make this for me or I want this specific. Whatever is made, Maharaj will eat. In fact, it has happened like that. Many times devotees out of love wanted to cook something nice, but Maharaj said, I only eat khichdi, don't make this, or make something simple. So that was the first point which I liked. Second point I want to say is his love for his god brothers and the mood in which he serves them. In the GBC meeting, we had many senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada came, and we had His Holiness Badri Narayan Maharaj here. And Badri Narayan Maharaj, after the meeting, he came down, and that time I used to take care of the guest reception and the housekeeping. So there was a boy who was there, and Maharaj came and he asked for a towel. And the person gave a towel which was not folded properly. It was like a messy thing. And Badri Narayan Maharaj, he became, you want to give me this? And I was there, and immediately I became, you know, ready. And just at that time, behind Radhanath Maharaj saw what was happened. So I was like, now I'll get chastisement. So immediately I took the towel, I said, I'll get a new one. So Maharaj saw me, he said, go now, get it first. So I ran, the godown was behind. So it took me 2-3 minutes. In that 2-3 minutes, Maharaj went and he got towel from his room and he gave him. So in that short time, Maharaj just took the towel and he just gave him. So that was the interaction which Maharaj had, and for the love of his god brothers, and he just did that. So one last pastime I want to end is not just god brothers, but the devotees his disciples or anybody who's coming from different parts of the world here. One of our senior congregation devotee, His Grace Rohini Kumar Prabhu, was here. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj is here. So he came to actually meet Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. So before meeting Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he was actually here attending the Yamuna Arati. So Radharan Maharaj, after the Yamuna Arati, just happened to saw him and he called me. He said, is Rohini Kumar Prabhu here? I said, Maharaj, who? That time there was one Western devotee called Rohini Kumar Prabhu. So I thought Maharaj is referring to him. So I didn't see him. So Maharaj said, no, no, our Rohini Kumar Prabhu. I said, Maharaj, I don't know. Maharaj said, go meet him. Ask him if he wants to stay, arrange room for him. I said, where to find him? I didn't have his number. I took his number. I went and found out that he was with Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. So I called him that, Prabhu, Maharaj is saying, would you like to stay? He said that we have not brought clothes. There is no way we can stay. So I told Maharaj that, Maharaj, this is the situation. Then Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj took the phone. Who is that? He said, Maharaj, one devotee. He took the phone and he said, they are not prepared, so they are going back. So I told Maharaj again that, Maharaj, they will not stay. And then night, Maharaj met them somewhere. Maharaj convinced them that you stay there. In the night, 10:30, Maharaj told him, now they are ready, arrange the room for them. So at 9:10:30 we are in. So the point I am trying to say is that when a pure devotee, he loves Krishna, he loves everybody, and love is a sign of, you know, attention to details. So that was what has attracted me. So on this occasion I pray and I am grateful for whatever service Maharaj given. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Anantaraga Prabhu, for sharing those beautiful pastimes of Maharaj that reflected his simplicity and love for his God brothers. As Shyampere Prabhu is making his offering, I request Jadu Thakur Prabhu be ready.
Hare Krishna. Actually, I didn't plan to speak, but some of my worshipable seniors have told me to speak something which comes to out of my heart. So I pray for all of your mercy that I can do justice and serve them, serve their instruction properly. Actually, once I heard one senior devotee saying that Maharaj becomes very happy if we quote something from his classes in his Vyas Puja. So I just was thinking, what should I do? So I just tried to repeat something which I heard from Maharaj. So Maharaj was addressing some regular audience who are not devotees. And Maharaj, we all know how he has a knack of... he can just give Krishna through anything, through any story to people. So Maharaj tells the story of... Maharaj loves to tell stories from Chicago, like Mrs. O'Leary from the Great Chicago Fire. Another story Maharaj tells of the famous mafia, Al Capone. So Maharaj tells that there was one very famous lawyer in Chicago in 1920s. His name was Easy Eddie. And he was such a super empowered lawyer. He was actually a turnaround lawyer. So he knew the system so well, he knew the loopholes in the system so well that he could turn around cases. So the Chicago Mafia at that time, which was at that time led by Al Capone, so they hired him. And because he was such a good lawyer, and they were doing all kinds of wrong things. They were murdering people, they were making people get addicted to drugs, and they would extract money from store owners. So the mafia hired Easy Eddie, and in return they were paying him a lot of money. And so he became so rich, and so much so that he had his own private jets, big properties, and finest of the cars. And he had one son. So he started giving all kinds of facilities to his son. But after a certain time, he realized that his son is becoming spoiled. So he said, all the efforts that I'm putting in is to make my son happy and become a very good person. But he's turning into a very spoiled person. So he started reflecting, and then he found out that I have given him everything except for an example of a father whom he could be proud of. So he started reflecting, what should I do in order to do that? So he realized, I need to testify against this mafia and need to put them behind bars. But he knew the price he'll have to pay for it. But still taking the risk, he did that. And he testified And within few days, he was shot dead. And so here Maharaj halts and then tells another story. So we'll go to another story, we'll come back to it. So in World War II, there was one Air Force fighter pilot. So he took off from a battleship. So they were fighting against the Japanese. So a squadron of 6 fighter planes left from the battleship called USS Lexington. And this pilot realized after flying that after taking off that his fuel is not properly tanked. His tank is not properly fueled, I beg your pardon. You see how anxious I am. That's why I need your prayers. So his tank was not properly fueled. So he informed the squadron leader that this is the case. And squadron leader told him to turn around and go back. So as he was turning back and coming back to the ship, he realized that that there is a fleet of 9 Japanese bombers who are about to attack this battleship and sink this boat. And so he is the only one. And but he realized he can't give it up. He has to save the ship because thousands of people are parked on that. So he's single-hearted because he was so courageous and so enthusiastic. He started charging single-handedly on this on these 9 bombers. He started attacking them, and he sank 2 of them. And then he ran out of the bullets. So he started charging the other planes also, knocking off their wings, knocking off their tail. So like that, two more planes were grounded. And the remaining 5 people thought he has gone crazy, so they just left. And somehow in a very beaten down way, he landed on the ship. And so he is considered to be one of the greatest heroes in the history of American Air Force. He was given the highest award there is in American Air Force, which is Congressional Medal of Honor. So because he sacrificed his own welfare, he risked his own life for a higher cause. So his name was Butch O'Hare, and on his name, Chicago Airport is named, the Butch O'Hare Airport. And the interesting part is the Butch O'Hare is the son of Easy Eddie. And so Mario was telling that although he paid a heavy price, but it did not go waste. What a legacy he created, basically, by his example, by risking his own life. So I was just thinking how Maharaj walks his talk so much. Why he can speak these things so emphatically that it actually enters your heart, because he himself is like that. Because he himself has created such a legacy. Because Maharaj was mentioning there that I have been traveling around this planet for last 63 years. So that time Maharaj was 63 years old. So, and I have seen how people work so hard to make money, give it to their children, and their children fight over that money to see who will take over that property. And so Maharaj was mentioning that, is that the legacy we want to leave? Is that how we want to serve our children, the society, and the world? So through this, so Maharaj basically was telling this story as a guide for parenting, what parents should do to serve their children. So I was just thinking, remembering this story, that how fortunate we are. We are children of such a father, such a spiritual father who has created such a legacy by his example, by his teachings.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shyam Pyare Prabhu, for sharing such wonderful wisdom words from Maharaj's lectures. Hari Hari. I request Jadhav Thakur Prabhu to come forward. Meanwhile, Gaur Charan. Almost. He chose to. Continue.
Actually, Maharaj, I didn't plan to speak. Somehow, seniors. Senior's order, somehow I could think of easy Eddie story, so I was just trying to narrate in my broken words. I was just mentioning that you mentioned about creating a legacy there, because generally what people try to do is make a lot of money and pass it on to their children, thinking that this is the best they can do. So the message you were giving, which I found to be so touching, that it's the character and the values of a person, and the love and the grace and the compassion that flows through that person, you mentioned, Maharaj, is the greatest legacy one can leave for his own children, for this world, for the society. And this is the greatest service to anyone and everyone possible. So I was trying to highlight that, you can speak these stories in such a way that actually enters the heart, because you have been like that. We are so fortunate to have a spiritual father like you who has created that kind of legacy we can be so proud of. And we are so fortunate, Maharaj, to have that, to be under your shelter and to be a recipient of that legacy that you have created through your teachings and through your shining example of how to live for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and perfect our lives and serve the whole world also in the best possible way. So, thank you, Maharaj. So kind. Srila Sradhana Swami Maharaj ki jai.
I request Sri Gaur Charan Prabhu to be ready next. Premanjan Prabhu can be ready. After that, Gaur Charan.
Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. I don't know, I have. I'll try my best. Actually, in last 13 years of staying and serving at Govardhan Eco Village, one of the things that I have noticed, and it has deeply touched my heart, is that although Maharaj, he has started so many projects, you know, Gopal's Garden, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, you know, such a big congregation, Govardhan Eco Village, and all these projects are touching lives of thousands and thousands of people and devotees. But the interesting thing is, anybody who comes, and even if he may stay for say 2 or 3 days or perhaps for 1 month, unless there is a extra effort put, you know, Maharaj, who is the person who is behind all this, that will not come out actually, unless we tell somebody that, you know, this is the person, how Maharaj has created this whole thing, you know. And this is such a great virtue, and it touches the heart so much. You know, it's like Maharaj, you are like an expert, like there are spies who do, you know, things, and I mean, they do it in such a manner that nobody comes to know, and you know, but the impact is very big. So you are like the transcendental spy of Srila Prabhupada who is doing such a thing, but there is nowhere your name. Nowhere is your name, you know, coming out where, you know, somebody will know that this is the vision of, you know, this is such a great vision of, you know, Maharaj. And also, you know, we see that Maharaj, he doesn't use, there is nowhere Maharaj's name over here. But, you know, Maharaj, because of his purity, you have attracted, you know, some of the most famous people in the world, likes of Will Smith, Joe Walsh, Russell Brand, so many big industrialists who have visited Govardhan Eco Village. And, you know, I remember when Will Smith came, it was such a sensation because he was spotted at the VIP lounge of Mumbai Airport, and you know, anybody would have been tempted to use him or his name as a marketing, you know, thing. We could have put it all over social media and Govardhan Eco Village, social media and everything would have got a lot of mileage because of that. But because Maharaj is so selfless and he loves the person and not, you know, his name, fame, energy, and that he wants to, you know, Maharaj did not allow to do that in the interest of the person. So this is something which very deeply touches the heart. And also, you know, it is like, I remember in 2014, when for the first time we got, these days there are some corporates who come and I tell them that, you know, how, you know, money is not important, the strategy is more important. And the classic example we give is of our donkeys, right? So because of donkeys that Maharaj brought, we remember when, you know, Gaurangpuru told us this story that when for the first time, you know, we had got this Scotch Water Conservation Award. And so it, in the private sector, so there is government awards and there are private awards. And in the private sector, this is the most prestigious award actually. And we had got that. And Gaurangpuru had called Maharaj about these, that we have got this award. But Maharaj, so Maharaj heard it, he liked it. But Maharaj said, where are the donkeys? And then so Gaurangpuru, you know, tells how he was bewildered. I'm telling about such a big award. Maharaj is inquiring about donkeys. But when the donkeys came, you know, we saw that, because bringing those donkeys had such a deep impact on some of the most important guests that we were trying to attract. We had a meeting where, you know, this Maharaj, because of Maharaj, you know, Jiva Mukti was coming to Jeevi. And Maharaj in that meeting said, even if you spend $1 million in your marketing, you cannot attract them to come here because their retreats happen in some of the most beautiful landscapes and beaches of the world. But they came here, they saw the donkeys, and then Padmaji or Sharon Gannon, as she is famously known, she said, Maharaj, what you have done is such a commendable thing. And then so in 2013 she came, just she, and there was one or two, you know, people with her. Then in 2014 she brought a small group of 40 people for 10 days. But in 2014, when she saw the donkeys, the next year, one of the retreats that they do in some of these best retreats all across the world, they shifted one of those retreats to Govardhan Eco Village, just seeing, you know, and one of the impetus behind that was the donkeys, actually. So this is the brilliance that Maharaj, you have as a strategy. And while, you know, there is, you know, Maharaj's name externally is not there, but Maharaj, there is great detail in which Maharaj goes. Like everybody knows that Maharaj has worked on the, you know, Madan Mohan temple and, you know, given very specific guidelines to the DT team who were making DTs, to team who was making temple. But we were taking care of housekeeping at that time. And I know that Maharaj told us how many toilet rolls to be kept in the toilet for the Western guest. So this is a detail in which, you know, Maharaj, you go, and, you know, because of which, actually, had it not been for the guidance of Maharaj when we got for the first yoga group for the first time, you know, we would have been absolutely, you know, halat kharab ho jata. Because of the, you know, guidance that Maharaj had given, we were able to pull it out. And after the whole, after the 10 days of the retreat, everybody was so happy. And Maharaj was, you know, Maharaj's mood was as if, you know, he has conquered something great. And then that time Maharaj said, you just wait, once we make the Vrindavan forest, you know, one going around of Vrindavan forest will do what your 20 lectures will not be able to do. And now as we see the things, you know, we can see how Vrindavan forest tour, I mean, it is like, you know, even to a new person, you are able to give not JOSD but directly the 10th canto in such an easy manner. So this is the beauty of Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for this kind blessing of allowing us to serve at Govardhan Eco Village. We hope and pray that we can do this for the rest of our lives. under your shelter. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Jaya Thakur Prabhu, for highlighting how Govardhan Eco Village had a great impact in preaching Krishna consciousness as envisioned by Maharaj. I request Premanjan Prabhu to come forward. After that, I request Sri Govardharan Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. So this is from one of Maharaj's class, where Maharaj says, what pleases me? Maharaj says, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadu. When our Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. I am pleased by what I know pleases Srila Prabhupada. And I can say, whatever anyone of you do, however much you accomplish, however famous you become, and if you are not respecting and trying to live together as a loving community, I am not pleased. And Srila Prabhupada is also not really pleased. So basically, Maharaj, in his all interactions, whom Maharaj meets, he has only one thing to give, that how this person could come closer to Krishna. This was recently in Vrindavan when Sachinandan Maharaj had arranged the group of devotees. They were there at Radha Madan Mohan temple where they had that evening kirtan. And Maharaj just went there at that time. The puja, they had the aarti at that time at Madan Mohan temple, and the pujari was not happy with the sound because the sound was louder on the devotees were doing kirtan. So then Maharaj told, okay, you speak to him and tell him that as much amount of sound he needs, that much amount of the volume will keep. But you try to pacify him and do the need. So I was not involved in that, but I told, okay, who is the organizer? I just caught him and said, okay, Maharaj has told like this. And then Maharaj started his class by saying that we should chant so softly with our heart that it could please the pujari and we get his blessings while chanting the holy name. So basically in all his interaction with anyone he does, his only intention is that how he could please that person. On the other hand, the Badjiva like us, we think like, okay, how I could enjoy? Because I was thinking in the manner, why he should say that we should have only slow volume? We could have more volume now. But Maharaj has a complete way of defeating that, how he could attract so many people's heart. Recent incident happened when driver was driving Maharaj to Vrindavan, everything. Maharaj told that, okay, this driver's, his food and everything has to be taken care. He told me, you see it, that everything has been taken care. He gets proper food, proper resting and everything. You have this seva. So I did it, and Maharaj, next day, he was sitting, and then in the evening he asked, did you get your food? Did you get the proper place to rest? Even for a small driver who is driving it. So Maharaj goes into a detail that how he could please even a small person or a big person. So there are many things would be shared. Once this recently happened, actually this Gaurambu could have shared, this could be written, but I would take this opportunity to snatch his story. So there was a meeting going on, and there was a birthday of one devotee, and Gaurambu says, Maharaj, you give this gift, which is the most precious gift, which is very difficult for you to give. So Maharaj says, what is this? So Gaurambu says, this is dates. He says, Maharaj, it's most difficult to get your dates. So you give this. So Maharaj says, I will not give. And Maharaj asked for some other gift. So another devotee also got dates only. So Gaurambu says, woni, woni, dusra kuch leke ho. And then they got some gift and Maharaj gifted. So there are many things which Maharaj, recently, yesterday, when Maharaj was about to come to Madan Mohan, so Vachandrabhu had called me. He says, Maharaj has said, nobody should be pushing people, and the people should not feel that, okay, they have been pushed. Even if they crush my body, there is no harm. But she to be taken care. So Maharaj is so concerned for each and every person who comes in contact. And it is said, you will never find in the entire creation any person who has met Maharaj and he said, kya ho gaya? He would be in wow, even just for a moment. So that's like Maharaj is always connected to Krishna and he always wants to give Krishna to others. But Maharaj, we are very fallen that we are still not able to follow your instructions and the lectures which you had given. So I pray on this day that I could follow and live a life which would be very much pleasing to you and pleasing to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Premanjan Prabhu, for that heartfelt offering and sharing so many nice pastimes of Maharaj. Sri Gaurcharan Prabhu, please come forward. I request Venudhari Prabhu to be ready after Sri Gaurcharan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for giving this opportunity. Till now I have not spoken in front of you, so I am a little bit nervous. I have spoken in front of a photo. Actually, I came to Krishna consciousness in Seattle. So my Shusha Guru was Sundaranand Prabhu and Madhav Chandra Prabhu. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was just practicing, and then they brought me to one devotee's house and they asked me to serve you. And I served you. And after serving Prasad, they told that, Maharaj, this boy wants to join Brahmacharya Ashram under the instructions of Gauram Prabhu. Gauram Prabhu is guiding him, and he wants to join Brahmacharya Ashram. So at that time, when he said that Madhav Chandra Prabhu and he said that Gauram Prabhu is guiding him, immediately you don't know me. You are seeing me for the first time, and you never interacted with me. But immediately you closed your eyes and prayed for me that I pray that may Lord Krishna remove all the obstacles on your path to join Brahmacharya Ashram. But I couldn't hear what you were saying because it was so low. But then Sundaranand Prabhu translated that what you prayed for me. So even though I had a lot of obstacles, definitely, for joining Brahmacharya Ashram, but I believe that your prayers only has allowed me to join Brahmacharya Ashram, and it's only your prayers that I am able to continue still in this ashram and serve you in this project. I have no qualification. I don't have so much love. Your love for your disciples like Gauram Prabhu, Sant Kumar Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, and other senior disciples, that we are getting some blessings through them. And I also seen that many times when we are roaming around with you in different places in the project, immediately you say, where is Sanat Kumar Prabhu? So even though everyone is there, you wait for Sanat Kumar Prabhu to come. So I've seen that how much love and how much faith and how much trust you have for senior devotees like Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Gauram Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, and other devotees. So that shows that you know, they have definitely taken your instructions to their heart, and they have so much love for you. They have sacrificed so much for you, because of which you there is this loving reciprocation. So I don't have that much love for you, Maharaj. I hope and pray that I can develop that love, that affection, and I also pray that I try to follow your instructions sincerely, and I see that this project that you have created is really before COVID 2019. During weekdays, we used to have like 100, 150 devotees. Weekends, maybe 500, 400 devotees. Post COVID, we had about in weekends 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 devotees, and now this year, Jan 2022. We had about 4,500 to 5,000 devotees on Jan 1st, and it is going on increasing. And you said that when you asked us to ask Gauram Prabhu to build this exact replica of Madan Mohan Temple, you told that once you build this Madan Mohan Temple, you will see that lot of devotees, lot of people will come to this place. And that prediction that you made is getting fulfilled, that on this recent festival of gratitude, we could see 13,000 devotees have come and attended this festival. So more than 190 buses, more than 2,000 cars, and we don't know how we could manage. But you know that every time we have some big festivals, Vasudev Prabhu always tells, go and pray to Lalita Devi. She is the event organizer. So you go and pray to her, she will make sure that everything happens smoothly. So we also try to pray to Lalita Devi, Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and we also pray that future also it will go on increasing. But we pray that everything goes on very nicely. all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees who come here, all the people who come here, they get good experience, they come closer to Krishna, and they take to Pratha of Krishna consciousness, follow Srila Prabhupada's movement very sincerely. And I also try to follow your instructions seriously, sincerely, and without any ulterior motives. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Grace Venudhari Prabhu to come forward.
हरे कृष्ण महाराज महाराज मेरी भी हालत ये हो गई कि प्रतिमा के सामने बोल सकता हूँ लेकिन आपके सामने क्या बोलूँ मैं तो महाराज मैं जब भी यहाँ पे आया था दौंड के बाद तो जब भी पहली टूर हो गई थी तो पहली टूर में आपने बोला था कि एग्जैक्टली जहाँ पे अपना पूरा वृंदावन का जो मैप लगाया है वहाँ पे आपने बोला था कि दौंडी इज हेल एंड नाउ दिस वाड़ा फार्म इज हेवन तो ये शब्द भी आपके काफी जो शब्द बोला है आपने वही हेवन के पूरा वृंदावन धाम मतलब गोलोक धाम ये प्रकट हो गया है तो महाराज मेरे को यहाँ पे प्रभु जी ने जो छोटा मोटा सेवा दिया था मैं भी आपके साथ टूर कर रहा था लेकिन प्रभु जी के मेरे को मेरा युगो बढ़ाने के लिए कभी सपोर्ट नहीं किया था तो एक्चुअली वो मेरे को अभी भी याद है मैं आपके साथ टूर कर रहा था और मैं थोड़ा बीच में बोल रहा था तो आपने बोला था कि इस फार्मर का है तो प्रभु जी ऐसा चल रहे थे और ज़्यादा कुछ ये नहीं बोले तो मेरे को लगा कि ठीक है लेकिन अभी जो भी मुझे आपने यहाँ पे सेवा दिया है पहला फार्मिंग दिया था डीटीवर से भी था यहाँ पे कोकण कोस्टल होने के कारण सब्जी भी उगाना बहुत मुश्किल था और फूल भी उगाना बहुत मुश्किल था क्योंकि कोस्टल एरिया में बारिश एक्सट्रीम रहती है और गर्मी भी एक्सट्रीम रहती है तो यहाँ पे पहला जब भी डी टी वर्शिप चला था छोटा सा गौरता ही आपका बस पार्टी का यहाँ पे लाया था और हम सेवा करते थे हम चार लोग थे और टोटल छह लोग थे गौरता ही और सनत कुमार प्रभु जी नंदनंदन प्रभु जी रूप रघुनाथ प्रभु जी प्राणानंद प्रभु जी उनकी वाइफ ऐसा छह लोग एक हमारा हॉल भी वही था हमारा प्रसादम हॉल भी डी टी वर्शिप वही किचन वही प्रभु जी का ऑफिस भी वही था तो ऐसी स्थिति में मेरे को कभी कभी फूल नहीं मिलता था तो प्रभु जी को पूछता था कि मैं क्या ऑफर करूँ बोला पत्रम पुष्पम फलम जलम पत्रम पुष्पम फलम तो ये मिली थे तो मैं मोगरा का पेड़ था तो मोगरा का पेड़ का पत्ता लेके आता था और भगवान को फूल के बारे में ऑफरिंग करता था तो ये हो गया तो कुछ समय के बाद छः महीने में हमने एक गार्डन बनाया था मोगरा का तो मेरे को पता लगा कि यहाँ पे अच्छे से मोगरा आता है तो मोगरा का पेड़ जैसा लगाया तो विद इन सिक्स मंथ में वो अच्छे से पेड़ आया था लेकिन कुछ ऐसा मीटिंग्स हो गया और वो पेड़ नेक्स्ट दिन जा गया तो देखा तो उधर जीसीपी चल के पूरा खत्म कर दिया था तो मैं रो रो के प्रभु जी के पास आया और बोला प्रभु जी अपना गार्डन और सब्जी का जो था वो खत्म हो गया तो प्रभु जी बोले आपको किसने जाने के लिए बोला था उधर तो जैसा डेवलपमेंट चालू हुआ था तो मैं वो नाला क्रॉस करके कभी जाता नहीं था क्योंकि हमने जो पेड़ लगाए थे काफी सारा रिकंस्ट्रक्शन डेवलपमेंट हो रहा था तो वो देखते हमको जो पेड़ लगाया था हमको लगा कि ये अभी अच्छा पेड़ सब दे देगा लेकिन धीरे धीरे लेकिन महाराज आपका जो विजन था वो विजन पता नहीं कोई समझ में नहीं आ रहा था किसी को क्या है क्योंकि हमने पहला तो खेल कूदने का सब बनाया था तो आपने आते ही बोला कि ये मैंने थोड़ी बनाने के लिए बोला था तो फिर वो सब तोड़ के फिर धीरे धीरे और कहीं भी कुछ बनाने के लिए जाए या सब्जी का प्लॉट हो या फूल का गार्डन हो तो कुछ बन नहीं पा रहा था, लेकिन अभी जो महाराज रिसेंटली आपने बोला कि ये कंस्ट्रक्शन अभी खत्म हो गया, अभी फिक्स जगह करो और आपको जो उगाना है उगा लो, तो तुम्हारा अभी अभी फ्लावर गार्डन हमने जो बनाया है, हालांकि मुझे ये सेवा थोड़ा सा मिल गया है, तो आपका इच्छा था कि किस प्रकार से मेरे गोपीनाथ के लिए यहाँ से फूल और सब्जी जाए, तो मैंने एक डेढ़ साल में कोविड के दरमियान मैंने ये सेवा लिया, तो आपके कहने पर गोपीनाथ जी के लिए हम ट्राई कर रहे कि किस प्रकार से ये फूल भेजने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं, और आगे जाके सब्जी भी आपने जैसा बोला है उसका प्रयास करूँगा कि सब्जी भी गोपीनाथ के लिए यहाँ से भेजने का। तो आपने जो भी हमने सेवा दिया है, बस थैंक यू सो मच महाराज, हरे कृष्ण।
थैंक यू वेरी मच वेणुधारी प्रभु, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ऑब्लिगेशंस महाराज। इन द फर्स्ट कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम श्रील प्रभुपाद राइट्स, द सीक्रेट ऑफ सक्सेस इन स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ इज इन सैटिस्फाइंग द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर एंड देयर बाय गेटिंग हिज सिंसियर ब्लेसिंग्स। सो आई वॉज रिफ्लेक्टिंग वॉट सैटिस्फाइज spiritual master. So in several lectures of Maharaj, I learned that when someone genuinely loves Krishna, that satisfies the spiritual master, and what it means to love Krishna. So Maharaj has given a very profound and deep definition of love of Krishna, one of my favorite quotes of Maharaj. To love Krishna means to love Krishna, to love those who love Krishna, to love those who are trying to love Krishna, the sadhaka bhaktas, and to love those whom Krishna loves. That includes every single living being. So to genuinely love means to respect, to value them for what they are. So Maharaj's emphasis on the culture of respect, respecting Vaishnavas, especially respecting seniors, and he emphasized that advancement in spiritual life, advancement in bhakti is inseparable from respecting seniors and being obedient and submissive to seniors. So we have so many representatives of Maharaj, our senior God brothers, who are guiding us, nourishing us, correcting us, instructing us, and helping us perform devotional service. So our humble prayer to Maharaj is to give us the necessary strength to submit to his instructions in the form of Vani, and also to submit to his humble representatives who are guiding us, and be grateful to them always. And the scriptures several times say, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, all three several times say that a disciple's primary connection with spiritual master is through Vani, through Sravanam. So in the Prithu Maharaj episode, Prithu Maharaj offers this profound prayer to Lord Vishnu. He says, Sa uttama shloka mahanmukhachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kananila smritim punar vismrta tatva vartmanam kuyoginamno vitaratyalam varaihi. He says that the effect of hearings from spiritual master and many advanced Vaishnavas is that because they carry the lotus feet of Krishna within their hearts, the saffron dust particles from Krishna's lotus feet come out of their mouth when they glorify Krishna. When those sound vibrations enter the ear holes of a sincere hearer, sincere disciple, and through those sound vibrations, Krishna enters into the hearts of those hearers, and he inspires them to love Krishna, to advance on the path of bhakti. So hearing from spiritual master and hearing from advanced Vaishnavas is one of the most effective, in fact the foremost way of connecting with spiritual master and advancing in bhakti. So when I hear, my primary connection with spiritual master is by hearing his katha. I was fortunate enough to get an entry into 2007 Mayapur Yatra, where first time I could see Maharaj, and the way he was describing the Govardhan pastime, I just felt that maybe he is actually seeing it, envisioning it, or seeing and describing what he is seeing, or he's part of it, and then being there, he is speaking. So I just felt like that one senior god sister of Maharaj, at the end of Yatra, she was glorifying. I didn't know who was she also. She was glorifying that, Maharaj, whenever you are speaking, we feel that we become a part of that pastime, and we feel that you are actually seeing the pastime and describing. I said, oh, this is what I also felt. Practically, being a new person who is seeing him for the first time. So I felt so happy and enlivened and inspired to dedicate my life to Maharaj's instructions when I saw him and heard him in 2007. So I see three striking things that Maharaj emphasizes in his wonderful lectures. So I got the opportunity to transcribe Maharaj's classes in many yatras and meditate on the most key points that Maharaj speaks. So one thing is, through his vani, Maharaj makes us Krishna conscious. Just to give a small example, in the recent festival of gratitude, Maharaj said, at a preliminary level, we can connect with Krishna, we can be Krishna conscious by drinking water, rasoham apsu kauntaya, Krishna is the taste of water, by seeing sun and moon, Krishna is the light of sun and moon. At a preliminary level, we can be Krishna conscious in our regular interactions in this world. But we can go to greater heights, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees water body, he remembers Yamuna. When he sees a little few leaves and plants like this, he remembers Vrindavan. When he sees a little hillock, he remembers Govardhan. That's a very high level of Krishna consciousness where Mahaprabhu is feeling separation. So as Maharaj is describing the qualities of Krishna, and Maharaj also quoted in the festival of gratitude, man mana bhava madbhakto, we should always think of Krishna, meditate on Krishna, be Krishna conscious. So I just remembered this beautiful statement by one of our acharyas. Man mana means to always think of Krishna means mai apara karunya saushilya saundarya madhurya audarya vatsalya gambhira jaladho nivishta manabhava. Means to immerse our minds or to bathe our minds in ocean of Krishna's compassion, ocean of Krishna's beauty, ocean of Krishna's benevolence, ocean of Krishna's affection. So when I hear His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj's classes, I get that impact of immersing, getting an opportunity to immerse my mind in Krishna's qualities. Despite that opportunity, I often get distracted and cannot take benefit of that opportunity several times. But nevertheless, we are blessed with that opportunity to continuously hear Maharaj. So many recorded classes are there in ISKCON Desire Tree, YouTube and all, where in Kali Yuga, actually, the access of a disciple to Guru through Vani is more profuse than in old ages where there are no recordings. So the Vani association that we are getting is extremely rare, and we are profusely offered that opportunity. As Maharaj said in recent Jagannath Puri Yatra, when something is easily accessible, the tendency of mind is to take it for granted. But we need to remind this instruction, remind this caution, and try not to take it for granted and take benefit of Maharaj's Vani association. And extra bonus is Maharaj's personal glances, personal smiles, personal embraces, and personal instructions. So we are very, very fortunate, Maharaj. So one thing that I could recollect from what you have instructed me personally is that you please take out all the pastimes where Vaishnava qualities are emphasized. Yes, you may be conducting Bhagavatam classes, Bhagavad Gita classes, and all that systematically, but you take out how Haridas Thakur is compassionate and how Prahlad Maharaj is humble. Take out all the pastimes and then elaborate on the Vaishnava qualities. Without developing Vaishnava character, Krishna will not be pleased. I vividly remember in 2011, Vrindavan Yatra, Kartik Yatra, Maharaj mentioned. One may read so many scriptures, one may quote shlokas left, right, center, and mesmerize thousands of people. One can be eloquent in speech, but if the heart has a tinge of pride and envy, he has not understood a single word of what he's speaking and reading. So when the heart is devoid of envy and pride, then only we are actually assimilating and absorbing the instructions of Guru and Shastra, as His Holiness Bhakti Vignan Maharaj also so beautifully described in recent Bhagavatam class. I'll conclude with one profound quality that Maharaj has exhibited. I'll quote Srila Prabhupada. At the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita translation, Prabhupada writes that, "I don't have so much devotion. I'm not a great scholar. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is so humbly saying that, I don't have so much devotion, bhakti. I'm not a great scholar. I don't know Vedanta. Whatever credit is there for my translation work, that should go to my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And whatever credit is there in this translation work should also go to my disciples who assisted me in publishing this literature." So he's not taking credit for himself. He's transferring all the credit to his spiritual master and his disciples. And in recent festival of gratitude, towards the end, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has also mentioned that I am, out of humility, Maharaj is saying, I am so disqualified intellectually and emotionally and physically. I am disqualified in several ways, but still I am fortunate enough to get a chance to serve Srila Prabhupada. So many devotees said so many things about me, but the credit does not belong to me. That credit belongs to someone who gave me a chance to serve. So Prabhupada gets all credit. Then after that, Maharaj added, the credit belongs to all of you who are receiving that grace. So credit he gave to his disciples, credit he gives to his spiritual master, exactly following in the footsteps of his spiritual master. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for being such an exemplary spiritual master, teaching us who are taking our baby steps to advance in bhakti. Maharaj, if I have said anything inappropriate, please forgive me. Thank you so much, Maharaj. I sincerely seek your blessings. I am also disqualified in 100,000 different ways, but still I am getting an opportunity to serve Vaishnavas under the guidance of our seniors. I am very grateful for this opportunity, and I pray that I remain grateful and I increase my gratitude and do not get deviated by pride, lust, envy, etc. I sincerely beg your blessings for that, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj ki jai. Now I request His Grace Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu to come forward.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances unto your daughter's feet. Somehow my nature is not very supportive to me in speaking in even a small gathering also. But today when Gauranga Darshan Prabhu called me and informed that I've been given an opportunity to speak, so I thought, how can I basically refuse to speak, to express my gratitude to a person who is so much mean to me. Maharaj, I am fully convinced that it is impossible to grasp the extent of your devotional qualities, your benevolence towards the conditioned souls like me. As the years pass by, I am gaining some glimpses of greatness embodied in a perfected soul like yours. So I'll attempt to articulate just one quality of your holiness, which is very difficult to develop in a person's one's personality. So that is having complete faith in one's spiritual master and dedicating oneself completely to one's guru. That is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariya Vakya Arona Korohe Mone Asha. That is not desiring anything but to please Guru,
we can see that your in your action, in your speech, you are like real acharya who teach the world by your example. So, for example, when you sent around 2007 or 2005, at that time, you sent Radha Gopinath Prabhu and Gaur Gopal Prabhu to Russia, Gobind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu to US, Prasvihari Prabhu, Rohini Priya Prabhu to UK. So Gaur Gopal Prabhu was explaining us, he was narrating us, that he inquired you that why are you sending them to foreign countries? Actually, what will we gain by going overseas? We are not going to gain anything in terms of donation or in terms of any devotees or making any brahmacharis or like that. So then you replied, Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada had a great desire to preach in Russia. He took lots of inconveniences to preach in Russia, because that time Russia was a communist country. So actually I'm just, you said then, you continued, I'm just trying to serve him, to please him, by whatever capacity I have, by sending you there to preach. So actually, sorry Maharaj, I'm just paraphrasing what I have heard. Actually, your actual word actually carries a lot of weight and impact, actually. Similarly, you said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Prabhupada sent his disciples to preach in London, and our Srila Prabhupada sent his disciples to London. So I am also trying to do my part by sending you to London. So this is amazing, this amazing place, our Gubardhaniko village, is also actually a manifestation of your love, your intense desire to please Srila Prabhupada. You did your best to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire by helping in shaping New Vrindavan in US as per Srila Prabhupada's desire. But you were not satisfied with the outcome, and basically you so you attempted here, and now how whole world can see the magic you did here actually in GV. So in one meeting when I said that to you that I'm so happy to be here in GV, you thanked me from the core of your heart that by saying thank you for liking GV. Actually, I should be grateful to you eternally for allowing me to stay here, Maharaj. So I just pray that I can contribute somehow or other, some insignificant way. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for everything. I pray that to you that please give me the strength to tolerate the allurement and adversities given by Maya. Please bless me so that I can develop the Trinarupi Sunishena to consider myself lower than blade of grass, always ready to offer respect to others and not expecting any respect from others for myself. Only then actually I'll be able to chant holy name. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu. Now I request His Grace Acharya Ratna Prabhu to come forward and make his offering. As Acharya Ratna Prabhu is making his offering, I request His Grace Vasudeva Prabhu to be ready. Hare Krishna.
I am feeling very unqualified here to stand and speak, but it's a good opportunity to get your blessings, so I am taking that advantage. Recently in your in our Puri Yatra, Kartik Puri, that's so wonderful. One class you are explaining how Prahlad Maharaj was offering prayers, and you are telling that I am nothing without my spiritual master. And you were saying that he was telling in present tense, not in past tense. He didn't say that I was nothing, now I have become something. But in present tense, you are telling that he is saying, I am nothing without mercy of my spiritual master eternally. So I am also nothing without your mercy and dependent on your grace. Recently, you spent so much of quality time in Calcutta and satisfied all devotees. Devotees were so happy despite your poor health. You really extended yourself and devotees were so inspired. They were waiting for last 3-4 years for your association and it was, they were really, so thank you very much for your wonderful visit and giving so, showering everyone with so much of love and affection. Also, when I remember Srila Prabhupada, I think how he has set such a wonderful example, how to follow spiritual master as life and soul. And you are also following spiritual master and also teaching. And one very important thing to learn for all of us is to, how to deal with God brothers and God sisters. You have been teaching because Prabhupada said you can show your love by how you can cooperate with each other. And you are really teaching by your own example. Recently when you came to Mayapur, I saw when you did that Asti Visarjan of your father, whole day it was so hectic, but in the evening you took out time and then again went to Ganga. I was thinking, whole day is so hectic, mornings till now, and still with so much energy and enthusiasm you went and did that Asti Visarjan for Rupa Rameshwari Mataji and you glorified her and, you know, and I was just amazed that, you know, that Mataji, most of the devotees may not know also, but she has served in Nirundavan and, you know, she had that desire and how you really care for every devotee's desire, you know, and try to fulfill that desire. So how you value every of your God brother and God sisters, you know, so inspiring. I remember also when I was given the service of going to Calcutta, you said you should offer ultimate respects to His Holiness Jayapadaka Swami Maharaj. And not only you taught by words, but whenever you have visited Calcutta, I saw how much love and respect you have for His Holiness Jayapadaka Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And seeing your example is actually very enlivening and inspiring. One time I remember in Rath Yatra, we had invited you. First class was of Jayapadaka Maharaj from 11 to 12:30, and then 12:45 to 2 o'clock was your class. Somehow, due to some health reason, something, Jabal Mar became couldn't come, and he told that he won't come, and he won't. And when he come late, he will go directly for initiation program. He won't give class. Your health was not good, and when I informed you, Maharaj, your class is there. Maharaj said, "You really want me to come?" Then, because devotees were very expecting him, I said, "If you come, Maharaj, give class. It will be wonderful." Despite your health, you agreed to come, and when our car reached, same time Jabal Maharaj car reach, and then because earlier I was in touch that Maharaj is not going to come and not give class or something, you know. So I was thinking how to do now, you know, because, you know, then I saw you immediately got down from the car, went to talk to Jabal Maharaj and then requested Maharaj, and I found out what Maharaj wants, and accordingly you adjusted everything. So the way you take humble role and respect your God brothers, God sisters so much, it's very, very inspiring example for all of us to imbibe in our life. Also, I see that how much you care for devotees. Recently, after Calcutta visit, I was told that you are scheduled to go to Vrindavan. But when Satyavati Mataji's health was not well, so immediately you changed your plan, came to Pune, gave your so much time to her, you know. So your health was not good, and you know, I could see that you had no strength to fly also, but still you are extending so much to offer your care and support and love to devotees. So also I see that whatever you speak in your classes, you personify in your day-to-day dealings. I remember one time when you had come to Calcutta, you just happened to enter a place where Dayarampur and devotees were having management meeting. So you, when entered, so Dayarampur just asked you, Maharaj, we are having management meeting. If you want, you can also come. You have any agenda? Dayarampur asked. So he said, yes, I have agenda. And he said, you said that my agenda is to thank you and thank all devotees. And then you glorified Dayarampu and, you know. So I see your heart is always, that agenda is there to thank everybody and appreciate everybody. And then you asked Dayarampu, so what is your agenda? So Dayarampu said, our agenda is how to raise funds, you know, we are having. So then you said, funds or no funds, Krishna consciousness is great fun. And you actually not only say, you make Krishna so jolly, joyful. I remember one time you had come to Calcutta and then we had a program, it went late night, it was Karthik time. And it was a prayer now and we didn't have a deep dhan and all that thing. By the time you reach to temple, it was almost late night, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And when we were climbing the guest house steps, you just asked, is it possible to get some diyas and damodar? We can, you know, offer to damodar. Today we didn't offer. It was 11 o'clock, I thought, okay. I said, yes, Maharaj. And then Maharaj said, you said that get some more lamps, 10, 15 lamps. I was thinking, Maharaj is alone, and, you know, 10, 15, why? Then I just went and got damodar picture and 10, 15 lamps. And then you said that, please call Gaurang Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, Radhesham Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Rajveer, all those senior brahmacharis who had come with you. And actually everybody was gone to sleep because it was very late. So you said you wake them up and bring. So I just woke up as many as possible and got them. So when I went to Radheshampu's room, he was taking rest and he was taking some medical Ayurveda medicines. He had put some ghee in his ears, eyes and clothes, you know. And when I woke up and I said, Maharaj is calling. He couldn't hear and he couldn't see, you know. So I came and told you that Radheshampu is taking rest and his eyes are closed, ears, you know, all ghee is there. So he said, you said that, no, no, please bring him also, you know. So I went and woke up. I said, Maharaj is really calling. So I, and then he, Radheshampu came. He couldn't see properly, couldn't hear. And then I saw you, how you sang beautiful Damodarashtakam. It was late night, 11:30, and you were so melodiously singing. And then personally you lit the lamp for everybody. You personally offered to everybody. And then Radheshampu was not able to see, so he gave to me and he said, you offer on behalf of Radheshampu. And then you asked Gaurampu, so did you offer lamp today? Gaurampu said, no Maharaj, you know, we didn't offer. So you said that I saved your ratha, otherwise your ratha would have been broken. And you know, all devotees so jolly, joyful. In it was almost 12 o'clock night by the time, you know. And then you told Radheshampu is just like gopis, you know, middle of night he just came running. And all devotees, brahmacharis were laughing and all these things. And you said, this is how these nocturnal pastimes keep members, devotees in renowned sort of life ever enlivened, you know. So you really make Krishna consciousness so jolly and so blissful. So. So. I saw in one meeting, another meeting, I think, when you were there, all of a sudden you said, there are so many discussions going on and some little hot discussion was going on. So immediately you said, vision statement for Calcutta is coming from my heart, you know. When you said, everybody was like, you know, immediately got little serious, took their notebook pen, now Maharaj is going to say something very, and everybody is very eager. And everybody was asking, yes Maharaj, please tell, we will note it down. And you said, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam vajam. So you said that if leaders in Calcutta, if they imbibe this principle, then they are united, then all success will happen. So you are always very expert in at right times, reminding everybody and helping everybody to imbibe these things.
One time I remember you came to Calcutta, so when, okay? So, I'll tell one thing. So then when you came to offer this garland to Prabhupada, actually earlier we had a small altar and it was little, and sometimes if one is not cautious it would hit the head. That time somehow I was also overwhelmed, I couldn't tell you, and then I generally whenever guests come I would put the hand so that they don't hit. That day I couldn't put the hand, and you just, when you are offering to garland Prabhupada, that Vyasasan hit you so hard, practically there was some bleeding, but you didn't say anything. I became very scared, so then you offered obeisances, then you went around temple and you didn't say anything, and 4 days passed. That day I was very afraid that you may become very angry and upset, but you didn't say anything, you just tolerated and just went. And I remember after 4 days, one night evening program when got over, you were about to climb the staircase to go to your room, so you stopped. And he said, do you remember first day I came? Prabhupada hit me so hard. I was wondering, are Prabhupada never hit, that Vyasasan hit, you know? And I was thinking, okay, now I'm going to get a serious chastisement. But then you were saying that Prabhupada hit me so hard. And then you said, I was just thinking last few days, what is Prabhupada trying to teach me, you know? And then he said, you felt that you are GBC of Calcutta, and Prabhupada is saying that, no, this is where you are worshipping me in my birth city. And then you explained how you have visited so many places and this is the worst Vyasasan you have seen, and how we should have a beautiful new Vyasasan, and you explained how design should be there, and you went in so many details to explain things of Vyasasan. So, and then, so I saw that, no, for you Prabhupada is not just, you know, you always feel the presence of Prabhupada, then, you know, you your love for Prabhupada, you know, is amazing. And then not only that incident, you told how we have to serve Prabhupada nicely, how nice we are. And when you were going in the room, you went inside, I was just waiting outside, and again you came back and you showed that, you know, wound was there. So he said, this pain will not go till I see the new Vyasasana. So the way you instruct, you know, really enters the heart, and, you know, it's difficult to forget. And this is how you are teaching us always to serve Prabhupada and please him. I'll just complete by telling this last thing. This time when you, I remember when you came to Calcutta, you were actually exhausted, but still I just request if devotees were waiting for hearing from you some class, and though your health was not good, immediately you address to devotees who had assembled there in New Town, and then you are telling how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one devotee asks, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the eternal servant of, you know, Lord, and his eternal estate. He could have preached Krishna all over the world, why he didn't do? So Prabhupada said, actually he could have done, but Prabhupada said he left that service for me. So similarly, Prabhupada, you are telling that Prabhupada could have built temple in Calcutta, but he has left that service for us. So we should feel so honored and so grateful. So I see that you always have that mood of gratitude for any service, and you try to help everyone imbibe that mood, that whatever we are doing service, we can do with gratitude. And then you said that I was hearing the class just morning, and then in that class Prabhupada was quoting his godbrother when he went to West for preaching, one of the Lord Jetlin or someone. He asked, can you make a Brahmana? Prabhupada godbrother said, yes, I can make, but you have to follow these four regular principles. No meeting, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And then godbrother of Prabhupada said, when he said this, this person said, impossible. And Prabhupada was telling in his class, actually we are also preaching in New York, and hippies and all these things, it's practically impossible to make them devotees. But Prabhupada said that we are trying. Similarly, you said that this project may be very big and it may be impossible, but we can follow in footsteps of Prabhupada by just trying. So you bless us that we can keep trying to serve you and please you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Acharya Ratna Prabhu, for your sweet offering, especially for the vision statement of Nadhanam Najanam Nasundari. As Vasudev Prabhu is making his offering, I request His Grace Rupa Raghunath Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. So, even though I got many opportunities to interact with you, but this is the first time even I am making an offering in front of you. So, I am a little nervous. Kindly forgive if I speak anything inappropriate. Thank you. So, recently when on 7th, the Chopati Brahmacharis were making doing the Vyas Puja celebrations, devotees requested, please come to Chopati, and I had also a keen desire to go there. But then the upcoming festival of Sunday, that festival of gratitude, many services were left. So thought, okay, we need to stay back and plan many things. So I couldn't go there. But then even that day, I couldn't even do the service here because when some emergency happened, I had to go to the hospital with some devotee. And then when I was sitting outside the operation theater over there, so I was just thinking there was nothing. I just went on an emergency, only my mobile and bead bag was with me. Then I was trying to go through some of the notes I had taken from Maharaj's lectures and some of the meetings. So I was trying to meditate on that. And few of the points I am just trying to recollect, and I'm sincerely trying to imbibe it, but it's very difficult. And as many devotees expressed already, and one of the teachings Maharaj very often tells about is that Vaishnava culture of respect. You know, in many interactions I have seen that, you know, he gives utmost importance of how do we respect each other as a Vaishnava. Because in one of the meetings Maharaj was explaining that, you know, there are, you know, the generational differences between the devotees. You know, some devotees joined in 80s, then 90s. You know, every 10 decades, the culture itself changes outside, and the devotees, when they're joining the ashram or coming into the movement, also carries with certain type of, you know, understanding, which become difficult for them to work as a team. You know. And then generally people comes to devotional service and they expect that, you know, since I'm doing devotional service and everything should have a smooth ride. You know, everything should be very smooth and perfect and everything. But practically when you are doing, applying, we know that every day there is some argument with some other devotees, especially in the ashram. While practical dealing, always there is some arguments. So then Maharaj was expressing in the meeting that, you know, it is not the question of who is right or wrong. In our life, always there will be a difference of opinion because we are individuals, we will think in different way. But how do we deal with that difference of opinion amongst ourselves in a Vaishnava way? That's what pleases Krishna. You know, sometimes you may win the argument. You may be right, or you may win the argument, but at the cost of your Krishna consciousness. So he gave an example from Srila Prabhupada's life that at many times, you know, some devotees make a mistake, and then some people feel that, you know, I told them, you know, this devotee is wrong. You know, then that some devotees felt that I am right and he is wrong. And when Prabhupada comes, he used to present that his righteousness or the right, you know, he present in such a way that it was so egoistic. And Prabhupada used to take the side of the person who apparently made it wrong, because that is not the way of expressing. So Maharaj was saying that in our relationship or dealing with Vaishnavas, we should never demean a person or a Vaishnava or other devotee by our arguments, to win our argument. Because sometimes we go to any extent to get our points cleared, you know, put across. And then natural explanation we give is, sorry Prabhuji, I am a Kshatriya by nature. So Maharaj told that, you know, you are first a Vaishnava, then you become Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all those. And we can see from Maharaj's personal life how he follows it. There are many occasions also we can see that, you know. And then he told the example of Radha Gopinath Brahmachari Ashram. Told how Radha Gopinath Ashram was known to the world, not for the erudite scholarship or the number of books we distributed, but the ashram was known for how they were dealt with the devotees, how the devotee care and a Vaishnava relationship among the congregation and the ashram and among the ashram inmates and other guests. So this is the culture, that's what pleases the Guru. But and another example Maharaj given in that meeting was that, you know, even though you do the right thing, but in a wrong way, told when Prabhupada came to know that, you know, book distribution was happening very nicely, so it was Prabhupada's instruction, you should distribute my book. Now it's a December marathon. So the devotees were making national and international strategies how to distribute more and more books. But at certain point that balance was lost. That devotees were making any, by hook or crook, I have to distribute the book. Then some devotees brought that point to Maharaj Prabhupada's attention that the way we are doing, many people in general are getting disturbed. The general public are getting disturbed and it is giving a negative image of ISKCON. Prabhupada told immediately, stop it. This is not the way we do the things. Means. So even if it is the right thing, but it has to be done in a right Vaishnava culture way. Means. So we can see it by his own personal examples many times. In one of the finance committee meetings in 2017, at Keshav Prabhu's house, we had a meeting to discuss about GEV financing, and that's the time when all Madan Mohan's stones were arrived already. But to make that, we need money. The fund was not there. All the, like, you know, Keshav Prabhu, Krishnendra Prabhu, Sachidanand Prabhu, all devotees were there, and we were saying, you know, we need this much money. Maharaj want Madan Mohan temple to be built, we need this much. Maharaj also expressed his desire and everything, but finance committee was very strong. Maharaj, when if you take out the fund, you know, this problem, that problem, they gave all the explanations and everything. But I could see Maharaj, you know, humbly accepted, yes, no problem. And it is ultimately the stone, there is lying the stone there, it is not going to decay or anything. We will wait when the fund comes. I was thinking, means he's a spiritual master sitting there and the disciples are arguing. He could have said, no, I want it. But he was showing, how do we deal with it? But we can see that he never gave up that eagerness. So then after a couple of months, I was sitting with Krishnam Prabhu, and then Krishnam Prabhu, yesterday Maharaj called me for something else. Then he was again speaking about Madan Mohan. Then he was telling what Maharaj told, that is the time that Trump became president. And then he was firing this Tomahawk cruise missile to Syria. He told 57 cruise missiles were fired to Syria, and one missile cost almost $2 million. Maharaj told, it exactly looked like a Madan Mohan temple, and we need just only one to complete our Madan Mohan temple. So even though he left India, he was in the US, but his desire to execute that, but at the same time keeping the Vaishnava relationship, that even when the senior disciples are telling there is no fund, they say, I'm ready to agree. So the importance of Vaishnava culture means like. And then he commented that, you know, generally when we get into arguments and disagreements with the devotees, the natural fallout of that is we start criticizing the devotees. And that is the end of your devotional service. He mentioned some examples from his own personal experience in New Vrindavan. He told, sometimes even the leaders make some mistakes, apparent mistakes, you know, but when a devotee starts criticizing outrightly that devotees, then there is a serious consequences to that. He told, when some of the senior leaders in New Vrindavan made some apparent mistakes, some devotees were outright criticizing, how can they do that leadership, and so much criticism went on. And then some people, yes, they accepted a mistake, okay. We accept they made a mistake, that's okay. We don't need to go again and again, you know, demean that person just because made some mistakes. He told, those who have made that strong criticism in public, they actually became a chronic criticizers eventually, and then they slowly slipped away from the devotional service. Whereas those who accepted, yes, they made a mistake, okay, but they never went out of the way to criticize anybody. They continued there in spiritual life and made advancement. And then he also given the example of His Holiness Jayabhadav Maharaj. He told that, no, even though Jayabhadav Maharaj is one of the senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was one of the, you know, first GBCs and one of the first sannyasis. I never seen him in any of the meeting criticizing a devotee. His Maharaj is sharing his observation. So actually, as a Vaishnavas, Maharaj is teaching us that we should not get into any argument with any devotees in our interpersonal relationship, no criticisms, because it's very harmful for us. And then he made a last remark was that, along with sadhana, one of my personal instructions to all of you is that you should follow the Vaishnava etiquette of culture of respect. Because if you don't follow that, and in the beginning many devotees so far spoke, we can let everybody touch upon that quality of Maharaj, that how respectfully and very cordially he deals with the, even if it is his god brothers or his disciples or even an unknown person. And once Madan Murari Prabhu from Bombay, so in 2008 we went to Calicut for some treatment purpose, and from the stay where we are staying, one of the place where we are staying, and there was the treatment area was a little far distance. So I was in the beginning, I was there, then I have to come back for some services here. Then Madan Murari Prabhu, because he was knowing the Malayalam, so he was there locally to help Maharaj and the team. So on the last day, so the driver was a Muslim fellow, Ashraf was his name. So he was earlier working in the Middle East and served a lot of many sheikhs there and everything. And then on the last day, when Maharaj was leaving, he embraced that driver. And he was in tears actually. So then after Maharaj left to the airport and gone inside for checking and other security processes, Madan Murari asked him, what Maharaj was telling to you. So that fellow doesn't know English and Maharaj doesn't know Malayalam. But there was so much of connection because of the respectful, gentle. He told, I draw many sheikhs or very rich people in Middle East. They used to give me so much tip and everything, but I never received such a tip in my life. So he was so much touched by the way he dealt with even such a person. And being a Muslim, I know what type of culture there in that part of Kerala means. So another instruction Maharaj was giving was this was, he spoke on in the COVID time, there was a Brahmachari class was given by Maharaj to the Chapati Ashram. He spoke about the consequences of a disease known as entitlement mentality. So he was quoting his god sister Yamuna Mataji. Once Yamuna Mataji was telling Maharaj, the serious problem of ISKCON is that people are having this entitlement mentality. Then Maharaj was telling this mentality is very dangerous, disease, that it just not only spoils or destroy the bhakti of the person who is having it, but it also destroy the community where that disease is there, means. And what is that entitlement mentality? It is exactly perversion of our service attitude. In seva, we are supposed to offer ourselves to the Guru and Krishna for their pleasure. That also we are supposed to do expecting nothing in return. But whereas when we do services with a expectation, I deserve this, that is known as entitlement mentality. And that is very dangerous, especially for a Brahmachari ashram devotees. So Maharaj kept on speaking on that and he gave various examples also on that. And also in our own practical interaction with Maharaj, we could see then. After that, I used to reflect and I see that Maharaj, many times, even if he is discussing with the disciples, many hours, he may present his points, and finally, end of the meeting, he says, you decide what make all of you happy. And he never emphasizes, you have to do this. He never says, except for a few occasions where there is something major decisions that he takes a firm stand, but otherwise he always gives the option for his disciples to choose wisely. Right? He presents his points and he becomes detached from that. And another quality of another point, you know, in the recent our monthly Ishtagoshti, we played a class of responsibility versus possessiveness. So these were the 3 points I was meditating in the hospital. Possessiveness. So Gaurambhur asked a question to Maharaj. Means, Maharaj, how do we distinguish between responsibility and possessiveness? Because sometimes we don't know, means in what stage. Because we become very possessive about our own services. So Maharaj told, responsibility is necessity because the service is given to you by Guru or the Guru Parampara, means. And by taking responsibility, you make advancement in devotional service. And every day morning we pray that, Seva Adhikara Diye, means we don't have the right to perform service. Raghunath Das Goswami also prays that, you know. Tumra Adhika, you know, there is a prayer that in that she says, you know, we pray to Guru to give us the service. Without spiritual master's mercy, you will not be able to do the seva. Maybe you may be physically doing something, look like a seva, but it will not have the effect of the seva. So if you are doing with, you know, that possessiveness, yes, this is my right to do seva, you only have the right to perform seva, but you don't have the right to say that, you know, this is the only seva I will do. So Maharaj gave his own example that, you know, when he started Radha Gopinath temple, once he was sent to Bombay for taking care of the temple and Bombay affairs, and then he wanted to go back. Then the call from the senior people from the New Vrindavan came that, no, you continue to stay there. And many of you know by, you know, many lectures Maharaj spoke, then he had made a nice college youth preaching programs over there, and so many devotees were connected and inspired and all those things. Suddenly they told, okay, you stay there. And Maharaj accepted it. But many times for, and then he told in the class that, you know, in a day you may be told 100 times to change the seva, the nature of seva. Told that the nature of seva may change, but the service attitude should not change. That we should do the seva with the same commitment that the first service we done it. 100% commitment to the seva. So that is the possessiveness will destroy our own bhakti. And we will not be able to do the seva. So I was meditating on these 3 points, like, you know, it's very challenging that especially how to become more respectful while dealing with the senior devotees is very challenging. And especially when you are in a management service dealing with seniors, sometimes you don't agree and then there is a conflict. And even I'll share you one recent experience that we had a meeting there, 11 of us were sitting, that one point came about our well only, the well in front of Srinaji Cafe, that out of the 11, 10 people told that we should not close the well. And then Maharaj asked, Sanakumar Prabhu, what is your view? Sanakumar Prabhu, I think we should close it. So generally our general tendency is that, you know, majority decision follows. So Maharaj, no, I stand by, I respect Sanakumar Prabhu's decision, means. So by his practical, you know, example, he always shows that how should we imbibe these Vaishnava qualities, especially respecting the seniors. And he told, by respecting the seniors, you make more advancement. He gave the example of Sanatan Goswami and Vrajavasis. Whenever there used to be a conflict or disagreement between the Vaishnavas in Vrajavasis, they used to go to Sanatan Goswami. And whatever Sanatan Goswami says, that was their final decision. There was no arguments. So on this day, I pray to Maharaj that sincerely, that give me the strength, you know, that I can also accept the decisions of seniors and try to follow it with full commitment. And sincerely thank you for all the opportunity to serve you and all the devotees. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vasudev Prabhu, for sharing so many profound lessons from Maharaj's classes. And as Rupa Raghunath Prabhu is giving his offering, I request His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu to be ready.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Recently, I was hearing that one conversation
life lessons from a monk. And there one lady asking, Maharaj, in 50 years monk life, what lesson you learn? And the Guru Maharaj says, greatest lesson I learned in my life is joy of giving, joy of connecting within ourselves and with others. So that is such a profound statement. In personal, everyday life, we see with such a busy schedule, with such a sometimes health issues, but still Maharaj keeps giving. And in that same conversation, Maharaj told the story of Gyaneshwar Prabhu and his mother, Gaurang Kumar, how that mother brings her child and they're from poor background, and our orphanage ready to take care of him. And once, just out of gratefulness, she brings raw groundnuts. And Maharaj says that raw groundnuts, they're more valuable for me, more than like millions of pounds. So from that, I'm just looking at how much like a concern and giving for everything. In meeting also, once all leaders, GV, were there, and Maharaj was saying ki, whatever facilities we have here, we have to share same facilities with our neighbors. And once Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Gauram Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, myself was sitting, and Maharaj was asking, Rupa Raghunath, what you need for village preaching? And then I just spoke, Maharaj, we need one temple where everybody can come, and we need food for like Annakshetra. And then we see, we have such a wonderful temple, Rundavan Bihari Madan Mohanji, and then Annakshetra, just since Madan Mohanji came, thousands of people are just pouring. And from Annakshetra, wherever we go in villages, any function, anything, at least one or two people come from village and they will say, yes, we came to GV, your place, and we had prasadam, we had wonderful darshan, especially about Rundavan forest. They're not able to stop talking about that. Such a wonderful, just Maharaj saying, whatever we have, facilities, we have to share with others, just giving. Specifically, in personal life, many times I've seen, whenever I need something, I always say that personally, Maharaj says, or his representatives always there for that. Once I was in book distribution, in my 90s, and I came back, and then on Sunday they were asking for anybody has book distribution stories. So I was saying, I went to one office, and that manager was asking, what do people do? I told, we just doing book distribution, we have Bhagavad Gita, and then he's asking, but what are you doing? How are you shining so much? Then I told, we do meditation, we do chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then I was little, I said, I'm doing meditation, I'm doing this chanting, you're doing yoga, all these things when I said. And then I came out of temple hall, and I was walking from that Bola's classes gallery. And then suddenly I saw one hand coming from behind. And then Maharaj told in my ear, you know why you are shining? Because of Maha Prasad. I was pujari that time. So I was a little proud guy. I'm doing chanting and all this, I'm shining. But he was saying, you know, it's because of Maha Prasad. So, and one time I was little, when I come out of daily department, and I was doing like a book distribution all, and I was little down. I was not so inspired. The devotees called me for Lakshmi Narayan festival. So we had, one day before we had festival there, Lakshmi Narayan festival, and somehow I was not so enthusiastic, and I was a little down. And so I was same place I was walking, and again one hand coming behind, and Maharaj embracing, he's saying, thank you for wonderful estate, wonderful Abhishek estate. I just did only Abhishek there. But Maharaj saying, Thank you for wonderful Abhishek yesterday. And just lighted me from there. I was a little down and just lighted me. It just inspired. So I was thinking, whenever you need spiritual master and his representatives are always there. Like one day, I know I was there in temple hall and I told Shyamananto, Shyamananto, I want to just want your 2 minutes for, I want to speak to you something. And then he's coming, so he's saying, Rupa Raghunath, my whole life is for you. Whole time is for you. So that gives so much support. You know, so much support. They are always for us and they're ready to do whatever we need there. So, we glorify spiritual master with Om Ajnan Timirandas Gyananjana Shilaka Chakshurumlitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. So, Om Ajnan Timirandas, because we're born in so much dark, timid Andhakar, and how spiritual master comes with Mashal, lightning in our life, and removes that darkness and takes on spiritual path. So, I remember when I was year 89, I was in dark, I don't know where to go. I was studying in college and 89, I just attended Pune Yatra and then come back. And then 2-3 days I was just crying and I was just totally mess what I'm doing with my life, where to go. And 2-3 days I was just only remembering that kirtan, that train, Bogi Kirtan, then Maharaj doing Kirtan, Guru Puja, go to lunch, and then evening, night Kirtan, whole thing when I'm not able to forget that. It's like and don't know what to do with life, where to go now. And that Kirtans, that like a, came with like a mashal, lightning, and then showed the path. There is no way in your material life, just go ahead with your spiritual life. And then I joined Brahmacharya Ashram in that. And again in 94, I remember, I came back from Belgaum, and again I messed with my Brahmachari Ashram. Lot of things gone wrong there, and then after come back, and there again, whole thing was like a darkness. Don't know where to go, what to choose, and then Maharaj giving on wonderful day, Radhashmi prayer, Rupa Raghunath, you just chant this, whole day you work hard, and pray to Srimati Radharani. And I just, whatever Maharaj told, I just prayed, and the whole that darkness was removed, and then again I was in ashram. And then again, when I was told to go to leave Radha Gopinath and go for preaching, then again, for a few days, intellectually I know everything is going to be fine, whatever Krishna does, based in your spiritual life, but emotionally, it was very difficult to take it. So again, that darkness was there. And then I told Gauram Prabhu, what are you going to I told ki, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You know, it's very difficult to continue. And then Gauram Prabhu, what nonsense you're speaking? Come. And he just pulled me my hand, took to Maharaj room. And then just 5-10 minutes we had conversation. And such a wonderful way how like a pure devotee takes for higher destination like that. Guru Maharaj told, see Rupa Raghunath, because you got Gopinath, how you got Gopinath? Because I was also Pujari for 7 years in Radha Rundavanath. I left Radha Rundavanath and I came here, we started Radha Gopinath. Because I left Radha Rundavanath, you got Gopinath. So now if you leave Gopinath, thousands will get Gopinath. So like that, then somehow that few minutes conversation just removed whole darkness. And then I just was like a happy and intellectual, so I emotional, so I got convinced about the whatever was happening. So like that, I many times in life, like recently I was in Jagannath Puri. Of course, when father had initiation 19, so. With such a so many responsibilities, so many busy schedules, but with the small details how Maharaj takes care. So when father came for initiation, so Gauram Prabhu told he is Rupa Raghunath's father, but Maharaj was so much in deep meditation and couldn't hear that. And when my father there, so Maharaj gave name. Your name will be Rushabh Devdas. And then when I lifting my father, he asking who is he? Like my Guru Maharaj, my father. Your father? Nobody told me this. Then no, I will change his name. And again took beads back. And then he'll get, your name will be Roop Sanatan Das. And then when brother came behind him, so I told Guru Maharaj is my brother. So he gave name Sri Jiva Goswami. So I didn't know what was happening inside. But when next day, Rundam Forest, I was walking and suddenly Guru Maharaj came there. And he just embraced. And he told me, you know, I changed both of your father and brother's name. And then he remembers there, he says, your father's name was Rushabh Dev Das. I named Roop Sanatan Das. And your brother's name was Sakshi Gopal. I named him Sri Jiva Goswami. So I was, and then he told me, because I'm not qualified, but he said, your family's servants of Goswamis, like that. So I just was thinking, how such a busy schedule, so many worldwide responsibilities, but details so many ways Guru Maharaj is like so personal. So thank you, Maharaj, for so many, at least I have so many lack of things, so much impurities in heart. Like afternoon also, I was there and then he was telling things, and suddenly you ask, what was there? His Holiness Loknath Maharaj name. And then you asked, the devotees told, Raghunath Patil, before name. So he was looking at me. So I was just thinking, yes, there's connection, because when I came here to GB, you had given instruction, be the preach in Maharashtra, be Tukaram of Maharashtra. So when I was hearing today, so I was thinking, if you want to preach in Maharashtra, just take inspiration from His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj. So Maharaj, please, whatever, so many impurities, so many things I'm lacking, I can tell fully with my heart, whatever I am here is like only mercy of Vaishnavas. Whatever your senior disciples and their mercy, their protection, only keeping me here. And whatever service, the only life. And I am praying at your feet, lotus feet, so that I can, whatever life is remaining, can serve here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sri Pragnath Prabhu, for sharing such sweet interactions with Maharaj. Now, His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu will give, and this will be the last offering for today.
Hare Krishna. So what I've seen is, since many of us assembled here are from Brahmacharya Ashram, I saw that how you have created a pleasing ambience for the Brahmacharya Ashram here, here as well as at different places. You could clearly make the arrangements for us, like we can be properly taken care of physically, our social needs, emotional needs, as well as the spiritual factors. And then in your lectures, you often told us the situation that was existing at the New Vrindavan where you were staying. And then we could understand that, like, it was such an austere situation, like for eating, some just oats were available. Even proper medicines were not over there. And veterinary doctors, like, whatever stock was there for the cows and all that had to be used sometimes for others as well. And I could clearly see, but you made it a point, like, I have gone through this experience, But that doesn't mean that all others also has to go through the same kind of experience. So you shared those memories to inspire us, but as far as we are concerned, we were bestowed with one of the best facilities available to us. As one thing during your instructions we could see, that you always said in our ashrams, there will not be a specialist. In the sense, it's not that one should excel, one should not excel in one's services. One should always be expertly doing his services, at the same time not identify with the post and designations. So do your best, but then be willing to do anything that is being told. As far as spiritual practice is concerned, during your discussions many times we have seen that you very clearly said in ashram culture, I don't want any politics. Members of the ashram should respect the women. There should be no disrespect for women as a class. There should be no criticism of Grihastha ashram. And then you were explaining that how the wealth of renunciants is a surrender. And then opportunity that we are being given to preach is our need. It's not that we go out to preach saying that they need me. That makes a lot of differences. One time we were discussing about the situation in some different centers, and then we were explaining that how the renounced order should never lord it over to the Grihastha ashram. And then we asked a few questions, especially your interaction with Srinathji Prabhu. Because technically speaking, Srinathji Prabhu was your disciple. But then you explain that how you always consider him as a senior person to him, always consider that I am serving him. He said that he got so much of association with Srila Prabhupada. As far as age is concerned, he was senior to me. At the same time, in his initiation is in the heart. And he took Srila Prabhupada as a spiritual master long back. Only the formalities was not there, but real initiation is in the heart. So I always considered him as he is a Prabhupada's man, and I have been given this responsibility of initiating him, and I always consider him as a servant. And during the discussion you explained it, that have you ever seen me lording over to the Grihasthas? Did you find even a single one example? And then you were explaining, in another place you were explaining, many times the preachers need to know how we can become successful in our preaching efforts. So you said there is only one principle is there if you want a brahmachari to be successful in preaching efforts. This is one sutra. Brahmacharis and Grihastha should work together. And if there is a cooperation between these two things, you don't need anything else apart from that. So sometimes it's like solution to the big issues is just a simple. If we understand this principle of working in the unit, it gives such a tremendous benefits. I remember one time there was an incident where one lady proposed to one brahmachari, and then you were explaining to the Grihasthas that look, these are the people who have come here to dedicate their lives and we need to protect them. And then if we are not able to take care of them, then I can take them to somewhere else. So at that time, you made them to realize what responsibility they have. At the same time, we can see that the proper marriage bureaus and other arrangements are being made so that the girls are also being properly taken care of. They know the systems and the culture remains the Krishna consciousness. Then you always explain, like, what do we renounce in the renounced order of life? Is our independence. So the real renunciation is we renounce our independence that is given to us and dedicate our lives at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. And then you were explaining that the humility means no matter how skilled we are, how dynamic you are, now we just surrendered to the group. And that is our greatest wealth. Is it that if people want to survive in the renounced order of life, then culture of submission is the most important. And in spite of having extraordinary talents and achievements, if we are willing to do anything that is asked for, that will take us to the success. So we are explaining, like, even if you are a skilled and talented person and then you can achieve something, but if you lack submission and humility, then you will develop a wrong attitude towards the bhakti. And then you will become uncontrolled and unsubmissive. That's an instruction, like, I always put it to my heart, that it should never happen, like, we become uncontrolled and unmanageable to the society of our Vaishnavas. In one case that you were mentioning, like, people want to know how we can become empowered in preachings. So we're explaining that blessings of the peers is very essential. So you were saying, like, the serving subordinates is very easy, but serving peers, especially when you don't agree with them, is difficult. But when you serve peers whom you don't agree, you make spiritual progress and you receive their blessings. And then Maharaj was explaining his personal opinion, like, when I give opinion in this, many of you accept that. But it's not the case when I go for the JBC meetings, where my opinion may not be taken with that seriousness. But this is that I also need this, because I am able to express my surrender to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, if everyone agreed to what you're saying, then there is no need for cooperation. But if there is a disagreement, that's the place where you will be able to show, or you, there is a chance for you to show about the cooperations. So these are so many instructions that you have given through your lectures and your personal interactions. I hope, like, we will be able to imbibe those instructions to our heart. Like, a disciple is never able to repay the debts to the spiritual master. So I feel like, we have got such a great fortune that we have been given an opportunity to serve and to be part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And we always hope, like, whatever remaining life we have, we'll be able to surrender to you as well as to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, for sharing such profound lessons from Maharaj's teachings. Now we request His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj to speak.
Om Agyan Chamidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatharine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is a dream come true, sitting exclusively in the midst of the brahmacharis of Govardhan Eco Village. And this is such an appropriate place for this gathering. This is one of the original buildings of Govardhan Eco Village. In fact, I believe Rupa Raghunath Prabhu and Sanat Kumar Prabhu, this used to be our main temple room. I remember when I was asked to come here, I think around 1987, to Mumbai, and actually we had nothing. And previously we established 8 full-time preaching centers and temples in college towns in America. And when I came here, they were all closed down after some time because I was spending all my time here. But there was one set of Gornitai deities that I rescued. They have descended from the spiritual world, Krishna and Balaram, to rescue all the conditioned souls. And by their infinite, inconceivable cosmos mercy, they who have come to rescue us from the ocean of birth and death, they allow us to think that we're rescuing them.
But that is bhakti. Bhakti, Krishna takes the form of a deity, and Krishna is the source of all food. How could he be hungry? But yet, he actually becomes hungry in the form of the deity just so that he can enjoy our efforts of devotion of offering him bhoga. And Srila Prabhupada told us that when we're serving the deity, we should think that if I don't feed Krishna, he will be hungry. Krishna's Atmarama. But yet, to give us the opportunity to feel deep humility and value in our service, Krishna's hungry. In the cold weather, we put a chador on the deities. Krishna's cold. He's in and between every atom. He's in the Paramatma of the polar bears in Antarctica and and in the fish, of the Arctic Ocean. But here at Eco Village, it gets a little cold. And we have to run to put a chador on Krishna. So this is the beauty of Krishna's mercy. He gives us every opportunity to put our heart and soul to please him. So these little Gorni Thai deities we put and made a little altar there, and for many years that was the main temple at Govardhan Eco Village. It wasn't even called Govardhan Eco Village. What name did we have at the beginning? I never called it that. It didn't even have a name. That was official. Huh? Govardhan Farm. Ah. Anyways, I think this building, was it here or we built it? We built it. And there was a little kitchen over here, yes? And that was originally just, that was the only house here. And we had some cows. And I think the cows were aware, because at one time we had our little temple here in the farmhouse. It was the ashram, it was the temple, it was the kitchen, it was the prasadam hall, it was everything. It was the preaching facility. And the cows were here. We brought a few cows from our previous property and downed. And then we brought Gorni Thai here after we built this building. And this, we were thinking, this is incredible, amazing. How can we make such a big, wonderful building here? Huh? And now it's the oldest building and nobody knows what to do with it. But so much has come around, but actually I'm so happy because the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth Gauranga Darshan Prabhu has moved his students here to study Bhaktivedanta. Sincere study. And from this little temple here, I remember we were thinking of building a temple and we were making all plans, and then we found out it was illegal to do it there, and then we decided to do it here, and then we found out it was illegal to do it there because of zoning considerations. And I remember standing there in the forest offering a prayer, Krishna, where do you want your temple? We're making all our plans. And then Krishna's a cowherd boy. The cows have been here purifying this plot of land since the day we came here, with their dung and their urine and with their laying down and with their hoof prints and everything. And that's where Krishna wants to be. And that's how the Radha Vrindavan Vihari temple came. But in this little space, we had so many hundreds of kirtans and hundreds of classes. This was the center of the whole eco-village. This little rooftop. And how special it is that we could gather here today. Because to have the proper humility, gratitude, and depth of faith to move forward, we do need to remember our own past and the situations of our previous acharyas, of how they grew from difficult situations. It was very difficult to get anyone from Bombay to come here in those days, because you know, to see a few cows and to see a few crops growing. I think I told you the story the first time I ever came to this land. It was very much just unkept fields. There was really nothing here. And I was all alone walking. I just came onto the property and I saw this very crumbling little structure. And I was wondering, what is this? And I went over and there was a deity of Ganesh. And he looked like he wasn't worshipped for years. And if he was, nobody cleaned him or anything. He was just standing there covered with... And right in front of him was a cobra. Not a deity cobra, but a... a water cobra. And I was thinking, I was just inches away. I was going close to Ganesh, and the cobra was looking at me, and I was looking at him. And I was thinking, what message is Krishna showing me? Does it mean this is not where we're supposed to be? And actually, the synergy of a cobra, which is usually considered an impediment, and Ganesh, who specially removes impediments, I was thinking, this is supremely auspicious. This is the place as we should be. And yes, a few devotees in those days. I remember the winters were very cold and the summers were very hot, and the villagers didn't like us. And nobody really wanted to come here. But it was the brahmacharis. It was just a few brahmacharis who, in one sense, opposing all their intellectual logic, because they're very intelligent people. So many colleges and universities and cities and places all over the world that could be preached to. But they had faith. When I say they, I'm saying you, because all the brahmacharis in the ashram today, not only are you infused with all the incredible devotion and service that you have personally offered and collectively offered, but also you have inherited you know, all the sacrifices based on almost blind faith that those who helped start the ashram. And many of you have actually been giving your hearts and your lives, and sometimes not philosophically understanding why, but not really know where it's all going. But that's faith. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, carrying out the instruction of his spiritual master, he really didn't know which way it was going to go, but he had faith that I'm pleasing my guru and Krishna will help. And it wasn't money or skills that built Govardhan Eco Village. Money and skills, you know, were wonderfully utilized. But Krishna doesn't empower us unless we really have a heart of surrender. He can empower us to do things, but he will not empower us to actually awaken bhakti, real bhakti, in somebody else's heart. And just a couple days ago, Hare Krishna. Now this is, in the early days, we hardly had electricity. But somehow or other, we had this faith that if Srila Prabhupada's pleased, and whatever deities are here, whether it's just little plastic Gornitai deities, which were actually the original deities, they were made of plastic. Whether it's deities like that, or whether it's beautiful monuments and temples, we're putting Krishna's pleasure in the center. And we're putting Krishna's cows in the center. And Krishna's devotees in the center. And if no one comes, many times when it just appears years of struggling and it doesn't really appear like hardly anything's happening, we recall Srila Prabhupada often cited the example of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very learned scholar, Vaishnav, disciples of his would go out to preach, armed with the Shastras, armed with the supreme grace of the Guru Parampara. And they'd come back at night and said, we went to this big, highly advertised event, and one person came. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so excited. One person came. This is great success. He says, if no one comes, you should be equally enthusiastic to preach to the four walls. Because we're not preaching to be great preachers. We're preaching to please our guru, to please Krishna. And he would also give the example how sometimes devotees would go out all day and only distribute one book. And Srila Prabhupada said, my guru Maharaj said, oh, you distributed one book. And he was so enlivened. And if somebody distributed hundreds of books, he would be so enlivened. It's that faith. And what is the difference between mundane knowledge and spiritual faith? Mundane knowledge is we need to know what the outcome is going to be. Faith is everything is in Krishna's hands. And we have faith. If I give my life to please my guru, the Vaishnavas, the Parampara, then that's the ultimate success of everything. And 2 days ago, I think there was only about a week of notice before this event, maybe 2 weeks, and I was told 24,000 plates of prasad. And I was told that there was the guards counted 17,200 people coming through the gate, and then they stopped counting. And that was many, many hours while people still were coming. And I was told the cook started at 4 a.m. and went till midnight the next morning. And from the Prasadam Hall, the line went all the way to Man Mandir in Barsana. So there's always a problem. One problem is, how do we get people here? That was the problem that went on for years. How are we going to get people here? We're nowhere. And now the problem is, what do we do with all these people? So which problem is better? In bhakti, wherever, whatever problem helps us to surrender to Krishna is the best. So how is it that there's such a transformation? I remember we were planning the Vrindavan forest, and it was just like very rugged old fields. And I expressed we should make the most beautiful gardens. Why? Because it's Vrindavan. How could we ask Krishna to be here in Vrindavan without doing everything we can? And people were looking, beautiful gardens. And some or other. Do you all know the story? Srinathji Prabhu, because in those days we really didn't have funds or even people having much confidence that anybody's ever going to come here. And we didn't have such deities or temples or anything. So Srinathji Prabhu went to visit the most highly respected landscape gardener in all of India. At least this is the story he told me. And this man was from the Gujarati community, like Srinathji Prabhu, and he was younger than Srinathji Prabhu, but he was making magnificent gardens. And Srinathji Prabhu went to his office and said, I want you to make a garden for our Vrindavan forest. He said, where is it? He says, I'm making gardens for the topmost Bollywood stars in their palaces in Bombay, and I'm making gardens for the government palaces in Delhi. He said, I have the wealthiest people of India on a waiting list for years. He says, you don't have enough money to pay me, and it'll take years before I can come to you. So you don't want me, if you should find someone else.
Srinati Prabhu chastised him. He said, I wish Srinathji Prabhu could personally be here to tell the story, but he told it in such a dynamic way. Srinathji said, you are in such illusion. You are Maya. Your life is wasted. This is not what you tell someone when you want them to make a garden. He said, all these gardens for these millionaires and these billionaires and these entertainers and these politicians, they're going to have a few people and show them how wealthy they are or how artistic they are, and people are going to come and be impressed with that person and go home. And now you're being given the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to use your skills to attract the whole world to come to learn how to love Krishna, and you're going to say no? He said, you should do it for free. Immediately. The man said, everything you're saying is right. I'll start immediately. And he said, you'll have to pay for the workers, but I will not charge anything. And that's how the Vrindavan Gardens for the forest of Vrindavan. And somehow or other, there was this faith. If we're trying to please Srila Prabhupada, if we're trying to please Krishna's cows and Krishna, then let whatever will be happen. But we have to be willing to surrender and try our best. And actually, it was the Brahmachari Ashram. Of course, the Grihasthas facilitated, supported, and actually made everything possible. But as was said, this unity of the Grihastha Ashram, the Brahmachari Ashram, the Vanaprastha Ashram, the Sannyasa Ashram, this Daivi Varna Ashram, we're all recognizing and appreciating each other's offerings to please Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. That's all. Not letting selfish, separate interests interfere with this. And it is all of you. In the very early times in this room, I remember sometimes in those early days I would come in the winter and I couldn't even recognize. There was only like 4, 5, 6 brahmacharis, and they were wrapped up with blankets and shivering. And they never left. They just carried on with their little services of carrying a bucket of water and, feeding a cow. It was very simple. And what an opulence that we have so many wonderful, incredible opportunities to serve, and we can engage so many people in such wonderful services. And that faith in a power beyond what we could see, even what we could understand rationally, but faith in the power of pleasing our Guru Parampara and serving Vaishnavas and Krishna and trying to make a Srila Prabhupada was living homeless in New York City. But his faith was that he could create a home the whole world could live in. And he was homeless. What faith is that? 70 years old.
in a foreign land with no money, no contacts, and you're homeless, and your mission is to make a home where the whole world could live. And by watering the root of a tree, the tree grows. He was doing it to please his guru. And Govardhanika village is just one little branch on that incredible tree that came from Srila Prabhupada's faith. And all of you, those of you who were here in the very early days, but actually we appreciate so much those of you who have come yesterday. Because even those who came in the early days, you know, our Guru Parampara, there was always someone who came earlier days and earlier days and earlier days. So we can't even be proud of, yeah, I'm a founder. Because somebody found us. And whoever's found never thinks I'm the founder. They're thinking everything is by the mercy of my guru. And that was the miracle of Srila Prabhupada, the miracle of the six Goswamis, the miracles of Panchatattva. I congratulate each and every one of you for being here and for being willing to be here. One thing I found most precious in a fundamental, foundational realization of bhakti is how to appreciate people who do great things with humility and surrender, and how to appreciate those who appreciate people who do great things with humility and surrender, and how to appreciate those who appreciate those who appreciate those who appreciate those who have done wonderful things in devotional service. That's how we spiritually grow. That's Vaishnav community. And even though in Brahma's creation this is a very small thing, still, patram pushpam palam toyam, Krishna sees even one leaf as a very big thing. Krishna sees one leaf offered with love and devotion as more valuable than Brahma's abode, even Brahma's universe. And our service to Srila Prabhupada is to assist him in the service of his Guru Maharaj, to receive the gift of Krishna consciousness and to share it in a qualitative way that purely represents our Guru Parampara in pure devotional service. In giving knowledge, appreciation, and opportunities to hear, to chant, and to serve Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Bihari in the forest of Vrindavan. And somehow, such a beautiful gift of such a wonderful service. And the more people that come, we shouldn't think, oh, see how we're becoming a great place. We should actually be very humble, think, feeling how grateful I am that Krishna is so kindly reciprocating. At one time I was a pujari, and it was really cold in the winter. Snow cold. 6 months, no heat, and all the brahmacharis went out working. And besides the few brahmacharis who lived in the ashram, I don't think more than a dozen people came up there to see the deities in a whole year. You know, no guests would come. And if any guest would come, I would remember that Srila Prabhupada spoke, anybody who comes to our centers, Krishna has personally sent them. They are Krishna's personal guest, and you are meant, as Krishna's servant and representative, you are meant to welcome them as Krishna's guest. And I remember of Ghanashyam Bhava when I would come to his Gopi Janabalava Radharani temple, he would say, "You are Krishna's friend, I am only his servant. Everything I have is for you. If you accept it, then Krishna will be pleased with me." That was Prabhupada's mood of how to welcome people. So yes, in the early days, we were thinking how to get people come. And if somebody came, "Oh, you are Krishna's guest, Krishna sent you." And now so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people are coming. How humbled we should be in gratitude that Krishna is sending all these people. It's an opportunity for us to please our gurus, Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. And when we serve in that mood, not taking anything for granted, especially when it's difficult. In Krishna consciousness, joy is not when we like things. Joy is when we're enthusiastic, whether we like it or not. That's what brings joy to the soul and to the heart, because it's for Krishna. I'm so grateful for what you and the ashram have done here. It's wonderful. Some are going out to the villages. Some are farming. Some are building. Some are doing management. Some are doing finances. Some are doing puja. Some are taking care of cows. Some are preaching, giving tours. Some are cooking. But the one thing we're all doing is we're trying to appreciate the service of all others who are trying to please our Guru Maharaj. And in my own heart, I personally see that how things are growing is not just a visual experience, but it's Krishna reciprocating with the sacrifices of all of you and showing his pleasure by giving us more and more wonderful opportunities to serve. We have schools, we have colleges, we have education. So many people are coming here to learn scriptures. In the early days, we just wanted someone to come to help milk the cows. This is Krishna. Krishna's blessing. Let us be grateful. and let us follow in the footsteps of all of the great souls who have come before us and have showed the path. Of surrender. So the path of loving devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. One of the final instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada to all of his followers of all generations in the future was to have no other desire than to be the dust under the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath. One of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate. And actually, it's the same principle. Being the dust at the feet of Rupa Raghunath means being the dust at the feet of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they are the acharyas, foundational acharyas of our whole sampradaya. Let us always keep and treasure this aspiration in the forefront. Of our lives. I thank you very much. I congratulate you. And I'm just so happy to be dust under your lotus feet. The idea of actually serving a Vaishnava doesn't mean I'm doing something great for them. The real mood of a Vaishnava is I'm the dust under your feet. Now that's a very high conception. But the more we aspire for this mood, the more Krishna blesses us with genuine, real spiritual advancement. And for all of you who are here, I deeply, deeply honor, respect, and appreciate everything you've done, all that you're doing, and with sincere prayers in my heart for all that you will do for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha, Vrindavan Vihari, and Srila Prabhupada. And for each other. One of the greatest gardeners of England was saying that when someone comes into a garden, if the flower is blooming very beautifully because of the expertise of the gardener, he said, they will have a pleasant mental experience. He said, but if the gardener sees every plant and flower as a person and is personally trying to please them and make them happy, then that flower, that plant, that vegetable will actually be nourished by the love of that person. And when they bloom, when somebody comes to that garden, it's not just a pleasant mental experience. They actually feel a transformation take place in their hearts. everything we're doing here, if it's done with love. Whether people recognize it or don't recognize it, if we're doing it with love for Krishna, if we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, that energy is going to permeate our flowers, permeate our buildings, permeate our temples, permeate our bodies. And when people come here, they're not just impressed by how things are, but inconceivably, their souls are touched by the energy of bhakti that they're connecting with. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan ki jai. Ananti Gaudi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. I must confess, I was asked to come here and they said, you will only have to stay for 10 minutes. So actually I was expecting just to come for 10 minutes. And that was 3 hours ago. But I'm very happy. Such a wonderful opportunity to be with each of you. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya.